This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Are you tired of hearing about what divides us? Are you ready to talk about what unites us? Amazing Faiths of Houston wants to invite you to be a participant in one of our dinner dialogues. These small gatherings of 8 to 10 people of various faiths and outlooks will enjoy a simple meal and then engage in a directed discussion about faith, religious diversity, and common values. Join us Thursday evening, November 15th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Sign up on the internet at AmazingFaceHouston.org or you can call 713-348-2222 to leave your information. Join with Amazing Face Houston to move toward common ground on higher ground. The Amazing Face Project at Houston Dinner Dialogues is a diversity celebrating project cooperated by Interfaith Ministries for Greater Houston and the Boniek Center for Religious Tolerance at Rice University in cooperation with the Office of the Mayor of the City of Houston.
Moment mal. Ich bin ganz atemlos.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a
thank you. Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston.
Oh, my God.
Galveston and the world. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Oh, yes.
If you find anything I'm going to say offensive, remember, we're dead air. I'm Sandy. But this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacific... Whoa.
Almost. You almost got it.
All of a sudden, I heard myself in both earphones.
So that's weird. Scary.
Yeah. Should I just keep my finger on the 8-second dump?
No.
No? Okay. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio for the old Gulf Coast. Yada, 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 biddy-bada-boom. My name is Chris Harrison. What?
And who...
I just said who I was. Who the hell are you?
And I'm Jimmy Carper, and we are the co-executive producers of this show.
Yeah, it's about time for my annual hiatus, isn't
yeah,
it?
There's nothing wrong with your anus.
Okay, my microphone... The headphones are going really weird.
Yeah, well, okay.
Apparently the rum is... Yeah, been better.
I see. You've been celebrating with the Bears.
Yeah.
The Bears had a big celebration tonight, hung their colors at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Yes, their anniversary, their 13th anniversary, and...
Congratulations to the Bears.
I got porn. I forgot to tell you, I got porn.
Well, how nice. Was it a giveaway thing?
They had a raffle.
Oh, and you won some porn?
Yeah, you know.
Is it any good?
I don't know. I had a chance to see it.
Oh.
But I had a pretty good chance to win it because they had $10 around the waist, and they used my waist.
Oh, okay.
So,
gotcha.
Surprisingly, I only won one DVD. So, yeah, no, I've... This means now I have to hook up my DVD player.
Oh, okay.
I just moved, so I have to get all this stuff set up.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, that's right. You have moved. Okay.
Yes. I'm out of the hotel and into an actual apartment.
A real apartment.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, if I just, you know, get a sniper's rifle and take... If I can find the person who stopped by here at the station last month...
Yes.
Come by my apartment. I've got a light for you to take out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it in the way and...
Yeah, my apartment overlooks a gas station... Which, fortunately, is not 24 hours, but they've got a spotlight on their front door that is 24 hours.
I see.
Yes. So, yeah. I can do wonderful shadow puppets.
Oh.
You don't want to know the animals, though.
No, I don't.
No.
Okay.
What did we play at the beginning? Because I was outside
smoking. We played the last two songs on the Erasure CD there.
He played Erasure. Oh,
yes,
God.
I did, because we're still playing, you know, this is our 20th anniversary month, so we're playing some music that we played many, many years ago. And it was...
I need my glasses.
It was...
It's not like it's going to really help me read.
The last one was Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight, which we opened this show many nights with that song, especially when we were on at midnight. And then the song before that, which is...
Is that the other CD?
No, it's on the same CD.
Well, after that was Gimme, 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 and...
Before that.
Who needs... No, it should have been a little more.
Ola Moore. Okay. We played Ola Moore first,
there's
and then played
the
Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Okay.
Have we played these people yet?
We have not played those people. They're in the bottom CD there. We've got a packed show tonight. We've got Theater Suburbia here. They've got a brand new play directed by Judy Reeves. And for the first time ever, she has directed a comedy. So that's... I'm anxious to see how she did on that.
Can I be mean for a second?
Because she's such a drama queen, you know.
Yeah, no, when I think of Judy, I usually think of tragedy. Hold on, hold on. What was that?
I said, I know where you live.
No, you don't. I just moved.
I know where that spotlight is.
She's going to talk about...
If you're a normal queen like him, unfortunately, you got to go outside the beltway, and that's a scary proposition.
See, I've been known to do that. Jimmy's the only one who can't do that, but I have oxygen in the back of my car for him.
Oh, I see. Okay. Judy is also going to be talking later on about a special show being put on by GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender History, Inc. And that's happening next Saturday, September the 22nd, at Mary's, naturally. It's the opening of Eartha's Closet, show and silent auction. We've got MCs Bob Boughton and Eva Storm. DJ Poppy is doing the music. The patio bar is going to be run by the Houston Area Bears, and the food is being provided by the Colt 45s, ICOH, and the Big Men's Club. Yes, they're going to have their Southern Comfortable Brownies.
Yeah, which means they need to go buy them and buy the pans.
That is so.
I can now do them at
hit.
Home.
So always a hit. Always
is your
a
headphones
hit.
Acting up?
No.
Okay.
And on the same day, actually, next Saturday, is Mr. Tony's Corner Pocket, Mr. Tony Corner's Pocket first show. That's Alton Howard. It's called It's My Birthday, So Anything Goes. It happens Saturday, September the 22nd at 8 p.m. So you can go to the GCAM show, then go over to Tony's and see Alton's show. Because he is a neat guy, and whenever anybody has a benefit, all they have to do is ask, and he is there.
In fact, he was on stage tonight.
Was he now?
Yes.
Good.
I believe he had just about every hanky on.
Oh, I've seen that outfit.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, quite colorful. On Monday, September the 17th, the Colt 45s are having their general... Monday, September the 17th? Oh, my goodness. General membership meeting at the BRB at 8 o'clock. Reese's has a big weekend coming up next weekend. It's a full weekend of shows and gatherings to honor those who have supported Reese's, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., from the communities of Houston and Galveston. It's called the Imperial Prince and Princess Royale Weekend. It's High School Memories, hosted by Imperial Prince Royale 23, Falcon, and Imperial Princess Royale 23, Kimberly O'Neill. And so Friday, on September the 21st, it's called Homecoming. Yes. Okay.
All you gotta do is hit your knees in front of him and he'll start to stutter. if I'm lying,
Homecoming!
That.
Friday, September the 21st at George at 617 Fairview. Food at 7, show at 8. Then Senior Trip,
Saturday, September the 22nd, noon until 5 p.m. It's a pool party and barbecue at Robert's Lafitte's Bar, 2501 Avenue Q in Galveston. And then Saturday later is a luau, food at 7. Boy, those folks like to eat. And show at 9. At the Undercurrent at 2409 Market Street in Galveston. Then the prom happens on Sunday, September the 23rd. Food at 6 and the show at 8 at the BRB, 2400 Brazos. And then later on, the Imperial Princess Aurora Breyer presents All in the Family, a celebration of community, Saturday, October the 6th at 8:30 at the Undercurrent, 2409 Market in Galveston. Now, something a little different. I suppose a lot of you in the mail got these little
small
booklet. And it says save on everything. And on the cover, it's got Double Dave's Pizza Works and a picture of a pizza. But inside, on page 25, there is an advertisement for laser tattoo removal by Metaspa. And they have a before and after picture. Now, if you take that before picture and turn it sideways, and it's kind of like a dragon
with a heart on.
That's what I thought. It looks like a dragon with a giant erection.
And afterwards, he still has a good hoodie.
And you can still see it after in the after picture.
Yeah, I was so impressed. You know, Jimmy actually replied to the Louis website thing twice this week, and one of them was this.
Mm-hmm.
So I may need to scan it and send it to him so we can forward it on to those of us who aren't.
Yeah, let's pass it around. Here
aren't Trozians
for the folks? Look at the before picture. Tell me what you think. While I talk about the Closet Ball 2007 that's happening Saturday, September the 29th at EJ's Bar. So you want to be a drag queen? Think you've got what it takes to become the next big queen? Well, yeah.
I am shaving my legs.
Come show us what you've got.
Hell, I need to.
The Gemini Empress Gingivitis and Mercury Empress 23, Eva Storm, proudly present the Closet Ball at 9 p.m. And we've got some other things, but I think I'd like to get Theater Suburbia in on this. You know, as they're passing this little thing around.
This is not a good time. They're all in here giggling.
So what, does it look like a giant erection?
Should we have a vote?
Yeah, I'd say yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. General Kendall. No. Okay, I think Salim said maybe.
Survey says.
Whoa. Okay, here, Corey, you keep it.
I don't want.
Hello.
And, of course, that comes from the I've got too much time on my hands department.
Oh, yeah. You win the prize this month. God. I mean, oh, yes, okay.
I just thought that was really bizarre.
I can't believe you look at these advertisements you get in the mail, Jimmy. That's what freaks me out. After 20 years, I'm learning new things.
I know.
You do scare me sometimes, honey.
I know.
Oh, well. What can I say?
You were cotton candy.
Can we trade chairs, honey?
Yeah, because you're willing to look at Judy. So.
He has no options. I'm his hospital nanny.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought you guys already did the pro quid pro or...
No, honey. I've only been at his house in a wheelchair 3 months. He owes me big time for 20 years. Just move, Chris. Just move. Trust me.
Honey, I've been carrying his ass for 11 years.
Well, that's half the time I've been carrying it. Okay.
At least I think that's what it is.
That's something.
I have to be nice to Chris. He's bringing me brownies next Saturday.
Okay. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear.
Now, welcome to Theater Suburbia. Hi, Judy.
I have a whole room full of people here.
I see that. Yes. And Doris.
And well, she's a people, too.
Doris is
Jimmy? Okay. What were you doing at EJ's tonight, honey?
I was running around in a dress looking really foolish.
Well, I think it went to your head.
Yeah, the cotton candy. You don't need the dress
that,
to look
it, it was that pink wig.
I know. Wasn't it fabulous?
Oh, yes.
That is so beautiful. Do I get it? Where is it?
It's at home.
It's at home. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, remember Sandra Dee in the Gidget movies?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it looked like, only pink.
It looked like this great big huge piece of cotton candy. It was humongous.
Huge.
And the bow just was, that was...
It was, I could wear that to any evangelical church.
But did you get pictures?
When I came out on stage, all I saw was flashes.
Good. I have about six people who are supposed to send me pictures. I have blackmail for Stanley.
Yeah, well.
Yes. Anyway.
I haven't done that in longer than Corey's been alive.
Yeah.
And
okay. Hey, I have one younger than Corey in here tonight.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Hey. Superman.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell me about this new play. What is it?
Well, actually, it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll remember Chris's comments for a very long time. that's okay. Written by Carl Williams. And Suburbia's done Carl Williams plays before, and he was actually in the audience last night. Well,
yes.
Friday night for opening, yes. We got two thumbs up. He talks to all the cast members. He was very excited and really liked what they did with the show. So I guess if the playwright likes it, then the rest of y'all need to come, and you have to like it. You don't have an option.
Okay.
I've decided you need to like it.
Got it.
Because the cast has been very excited about doing this. They've,
mm-hmm.
They've been giving me nothing but...
Grief.
Problems. Grief, yes. Since day one. I mean, the night of the read-through, they started giving me grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't stopped.
I see.
But they're having a lot of fun with it, and it shows. It really does.
Good.
And actually, the entire cast is here tonight, and I'm very proud of that. In fact, I have my whole cast that
and tech.
With the set. And tech. Well, half a tech. We actually have... Well, three quarters of tech. We actually have a stage manager and someone who's filling in, and we have two tech guys. So
okay.
You know, and Doris. And Elvin wasn't feeling well, so we dismissed him this evening and let him go home.
Oh, he doesn't talk anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't talk anyway, but he always comes.
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to just kind of let everybody say hello, and then we got a couple of really short scenes we're going to do just to give them an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
We're going to start with Salim, since he's the one I can see the.
Hi, my name's Salim Siddiqui. I play Brooke Oliphant.
He's a real cad.
Oh.
Yeah. Tony?
I'm Tony Darmott, and I play Tom Kyle. I'm the bowler who doesn't like poetry.
Yes.
I'm Courtney Ferguson, and I play Samantha Uberhausen, and I'm a college student in Professor Oliphant's class.
I love these names.
Uh-huh.
I'm Christy Todd. I play Marty Kyle, and I find that Brooke Oliphant is back in my life after 20 years.
The bowler who doesn't like poetry is her husband.
And I'm Deborah Schultz, and I play Janice Starkwell. I guess I'm Marty's best friend and the drunk. So.
Oh. She's only into the
okay.
young ones.
Yeah.
But she does it very well. I think she has experience.
Who else?
Look at your turn, Corey.
We're
going
yeah,
along
you,
here.
Yeah, you actually get to talk and stuff.
Well, he slept through tech tonight. So
I did actually sleep through tech tonight. Wouldn't be the first time. I'm Corey Gravenstein, and you don't ever get to see me. You just get to hear me make various noises.
Oh, we've seen you.
Lights.
We've seen you before, though.
Well, it's true.
That's true. James, you're just visiting. Catherine, you saying hello?
Catherine Collins, I'm stage managing.
Hello.
And then there's Doris.
Hello, Doris.
Keep that box office going for us. Okay.
Okay, do a couple of scenes for us.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I don't even know the name of this play.
Well, you didn't give me a chance. So it's like Poetic License.
Oh, that's
honey,
why the
you?
Bowler doesn't like poetry.
The bowler, yeah. Well, he's like, honey, this guy would, Tony, I love him dearly. He would not even use my bowling ball in the show because my bowling ball is purple.
Well, he would have hated. He would have really hated mine.
Yes, he would have really hot pink.
Mine is pink. Yes.
Well, he would not even use it. But it is called Poetic Justice. It's by Carl Williams. I love you, Tony. It opened this weekend, and so far all three audiences have really liked it. And it's going to play through October the 13th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8:30 p.m., mm-hmm. and Sundays, September 30th, and October 7th at 3 p.m.
So it's Poetic License?
Poetic License, okay. Yes. What's a little... Never
gotcha.
Mind. We won't go there.
Gotcha.
And basically, a professor from college comes back into two ladies' lives after, 20 years' absence,
mm-hmm.
and just wreaks havoc on the neighborhood.
Oh.
Suburbia, what can I say?
Gotcha.
And so it's really a lot of fun. They're having a lot of fun with it. And that's about all I'm going to say right now. We're going to do two short scenes that will not give the entire plot away, because you have to come see the show to really appreciate
it.
So we're going to start on page 19, guys. With, I'll get it.
I hope the bourbon's all right. It may not be your brand.
It's fine. I like variety.
Wow.
Hello, everybody.
Janice, I'm glad you could stop by.
That makes two of us.
Oh, how are you, Brooke?
Pretty good right now, with a drink in one hand and a beautiful woman in the other.
Oh, what do I say to that?
Just say thank you and sit down.
Oh, what would you like to drink?
You brought out your New Year's bottle.
I'm having bourbon. They're having Coke.
Then I'll have bourbon and Coke.
The worst of both worlds. Bourbon was never meant to be carbonated.
I'll let you do the mixing.
I thought you used to be a wine drinker.
I was, and I am. It depends on the time of day, the mood, the company.
Wine is for, romance?
Sometimes.
And drinking bourbon says what about us?
It says more about the end of a long day. Do you know how stressful it is to sit and wait for someone to buy your book? How exposed you feel, how subject to rejection.
Must be rough.
I don't have the temperament for it.
Poetry is about vulnerability, about showing the world your innermost self, because it springs from your deepest feelings.
Oh, men never understand. That is, non-poetic men.
Tom has a good poetic sense.
Tom? Tom is many things, but a poet he's not.
Well, enough about me. We want to hear more about you.
What is there to say? I'm an itinerant professor, changing universities every 2 or 3 years.
You never got tenure?
I've never wanted it. I'd rather see new sights, meet new people, experience new things.
It sounds like a stimulating life.
Sometimes it is.
It all goes into your poetry, I bet.
Naturally. Experience translates into artistic expression, which then translates back into experience.
And if there's no experience, no change, if there's just routine, then artistic expression withers away.
And life along with it.
But now here you are, back where you started, where we all started, at our old alma mater.
Full circle, or more like a spiral, landing me on a higher level prestige position.
A published poet.
Oh, let's hear one of your poems, Brooke.
Oh, I don't know.
In the poet's voice.
Oh, will you do one for us?
Nothing's worse than listening to some guy recite his own poetry.
If he doesn't want to.
We'd love to hear it. Please, whatever comes to mind.
Maybe it could rhyme.
Well, let me think. Okay, here's one.
No, we're going to stop right there. Y'all have to come see the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we could do poetry on this, but, you know, that's going to get kind of... No, we're not going to give it away to you. You have to come see it.
Oh, there's something in the poetry that's going to give something away.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. We don't want to go there.
Oh.
Oh, see. It's not a whole play of poetry. There is a little poetry in it, but
mm-hmm.
it's a whole play of funny. So, and actually we're going to do a second short scene because we don't want to give it all away, but
mm-hmm.
We need to get Samantha in here because so far we haven't heard from Courtney or Superman, depending on what you want to call her.
Superman?
Yeah, there is no scene. This is Superman.
Okay.
Okay. It's a long story. We'll go there after they're gone.
Okay.
Anyway, actually, Samantha has kind of a small part, and I never have a part where, or a scene where they're all five in here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the ladies.
Okay.
And we're going to start on page 49 with another knock on the door.
If that's Brooke, Who are you?
I'm Samantha Uberhausen.
Really? And?
I'm looking for Professor Oliphant.
What makes you think he's here?
That's his car out front, isn't it?
Maybe it is, but how did you know where to find it?
Just a hunch. I followed him the other day.
You followed him here?
Except he parked across the street then.
Are you a detective?
I'm a student, so is he here?
He may be soon. Would you like to have a seat and wait for him?
Okay. I see you have a copy, too. It's good, isn't it?
Maybe not as good as I thought it was.
Opinions have a way of changing.
What exactly prompted you to come looking for Brooke, Professor Oliphant?
We had a meeting scheduled, but he didn't show up.
That doesn't explain why you've been following him.
I like doing things like that.
Like what?
Observing people when they don't know they're being observed. Have you ever looked at people when they're sleeping?
I don't get that many chances.
They're so perfectly natural, completely unaware.
But to follow someone, to track him down, isn't that a bit extreme?
I learn about people that way. When I find an interesting subject, I go wherever he goes and study his behavior.
What do you do with all this information?
Use it for blackmail?
That would be melodramatic. I develop different characters and put them in my stories.
I'm beginning to understand. How are you at motivations?
If you know what a character does, you can usually tell why he does it.
Smart girl.
So why are you studying Professor Oliphant?
I'm in his class. Poetry is very instructive. It condenses behavior to a few lines and at the same time conveys an appropriate tone for analyzing intent.
There was a young fireman from Queens. Sorry, just recalling one of Brooke's lesser works.
I'm not familiar with the line you quoted, but I know it couldn't be Professor Oliphant's because he doesn't write in that style.
He doesn't?
No.
Well, since you're so familiar with the professor's style, why don't you give us an example? Can't think of one.
No cheating by looking in the book.
I only know one of his poems by heart. I've seen morning glories growing in a canyon, where the light of heaven shines between the shadows, on the cloistered buds that blossom
for a single holy hour,
offering their beauty to the world and their fragrance to the wind.
How do you know that? Brooke and I are the only ones who know that poem.
Brooke now, is it?
He said to call him Brooke when we're out of class.
And have you spent much time with him, out of class?
In his company, not just following him around.
I don't know what's going on. I want to see Brooke.
I can arrange that.
I think you people are strange.
Just keep on observing.
Stop right there. It's an interesting little play.
Yes.
And what's really fun is you have to come and take a good look at the set and watch Samantha as she goes through it like a lawnmower.
Yeah.
She has a very small part, but believe me, it gets real big on that stage. You know what they say, there are no small parts. No, she has a small part in this play, but she does it very well. They all do, and they seem to be having a lot of fun doing it.
Good.
So if everybody will come out and see the show, do we still have the special deal for... So,
yes.
Special deal. If you call the theater, and I'm going to give the number in just a second, and tell them that you heard about this on KPFT After Hours,
ta-da,
then it's a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Two tickets for the price of one.
What a cheap date.
You're not talking about me, are you? Okay. Never mind. And you can get these tickets by calling the box office at 713-682-3525 and following all the instructions. And if you want to know more about the theater, you can go to www.theatersuburbia.com.
Theatre.
English Theatre.
Yes.
Suburbia.com. And let's see. I'm sure there's more. Oh, I guess we should give an address, huh? 1410 West 43rd off Ella near 610.
Oh, it's so easy to get to.
Oh, it's so easy to get to.
Especially from the Montrose.
And, oh, yes. Straight down any one of those streets.
I know. I just take Shepherd and just keep going until I get to 43rd and... Turn left.
And you're there.
Yeah.
And parking is free.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little snack bar with for donations.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just a lot of fun.
And ticket prices. You're a 501c3 organization.
Yes.
So we can talk about ticket prices.
Oh, okay. Tickets are $12 for adults,
mm-hmm.
$11 for students and seniors,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's $10 on Sundays for the matinees.
Oh, cool.
So...
And it's playing for the next 6 weeks?
It's played, no, not quite.
5 weeks?
It plays through October the 13th.
Oh.
So it's only got 4 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we better hurry.
That's right. And because Theater Suburbia is so wonderful, they do benefit performances for different organizations once in a while.
I've heard that.
And this coming Thursday evening,
mm-hmm.
We're doing one through ICOH for the... Legacy Prescription
yes.
Program.
It's the Imperial Court of Houston, which is a fundraising organization, and this year their main beneficiary is Legacy Community Health Services Drug Assistance Program, where they actually make the payments on insurance policies if someone has had been out of work or something and they're liable to lose their insurance, these people step in and save it for them. Also, it's going to be a donation, and of course nobody is turned away.
That's right. Nobody's turned away.
What we want is to have a full house.
Yes, exactly. These people and the theater donate their time and the theater and,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. We still got light bills to pay and so on, but that doesn't seem to matter that night. Doris and Elvin and the board and so on do their thing, and the cast volunteers their time, and we go in and do a full show
mm-hmm.
starting at 8 o'clock. House opens at 7:30
mm-hmm.
for anybody who wants to be there.
So that's 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock Thursday.
On Thursday.
Uh-huh.
So After Hours listeners really are in luck because we have this this benefit on Thursday, but if you can't make that, make reservations at Theater Suburbia, and you've still got 4 weeks, and you can get two tickets for the price of one.
There you go.
Which
such
is
a deal.
So cool. So
yeah.
cool. Yes. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I love when you guys come here because it's always a lot of fun.
We have to drag some of them kicking and screaming, but they have fun when they get here.
Good. Good. Good.
Are we doing music now?
Right? We're going to do some music right now,
so
as a matter of fact. And this is some old Romanovsky influence. It's actually the first openly gay song I ever heard in my life. It's called The Prince Charming Tango.
Oh, I love that song. Okay, y'all can...
I met you on a rainy day, but the sun's been out since. And I knew from that moment that you were my prince. Funny how life is always a big surprise. I thought the man of my dreams would have blue eyes, and I thought you'd be taller. I thought you'd be rich. I didn't think you'd be moody and at times such a bitch. I thought you'd be brilliant, a real Einstein, but you'd rather watch TV than challenge my mind. I thought you'd be happy and never complain, but you're so neurotic, you make me feel sane. I dreamt about you. Did you dream about me? You wore shining armor and you rescued me. Funny how dreams are not always as they seem. My handsome prince turned out to be more of a queen.
You're not as romantic as I hoped you'd be.
As I hoped you'd be.
You never buy flowers, at least not for me.
We never go strolling or watch the sunset.
Or watch the dawn.
We haven't made love outdoors since the night that we met. I thought you'd be athletic with muscles for days. But I guess it don't matter, 'cause I love you the same.
La 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 la.
Do 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 do. But don't fear, my darling, 'cause you know it's you I adore. And I know you can't be blamed if at times you're a bore.
Olé.
Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. Oh, you want your headphones back?
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Oh, trust me, Thomas.
Yes, Prince Charming Tango. I loved that song the first time I heard it and went directly to the local gay and lesbian bookstore and bought
that?
The album. you know, those flat, you know, kind of plastic discs that...
No, I was asking what a gay and lesbian bookstore
is. Those large ones. Oh. Yeah, no kidding. We don't have those either. So I have that on vinyl.
Remember, back in the day when vinyl wasn't just for sex products anymore.
Yes.
Oh, I so love it now since I've moved.
Mm-hmm.
I've got expanded cable.
Oh. Do you get Logo?
Yes, I do.
Don't you love it?
Well, once I find some entertaining programming.
Well, I know.
I do love the vibrator commercial on Logo. This woman goes into an elevator, and all of a sudden, she gets bumped into, and her purse starts vibrating. And she's telling everybody, oh, I'm sorry, it's my phone going off.
Mm-hmm.
And she digs around in her purse, and it's, I forget what vibrator company it's for, but it's hilarious. Between that and another one I saw that was a gay-themed commercial.
Yes.
Was for a website called chemistry.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dating service.
Oh.
And I don't think I saw it on Logo. I don't know what station I saw it on. But it had this guy sitting there looking at a dirty straight mag.
Yes.
And he's sitting there. He's looking at the pictures. And he gets to the centerfold. I mean, you can tell he's the centerfold because he turns the magazine up there. And he just looks at the camera and goes, nope, I'm still gay. And then it goes, then it goes, we don't know why eHarmony has rejected millions of people, but we don't.
Yes.
I was like, yes!
Don't you love that? Hello, Chris. Welcome.
Hello, how are you? We really have to get something straightened before...
We should probably call you Christopher.
We don't do anything straight on this show.
So that people won't be confused with who's talking here, because we already have a Chris.
Chris, that is true.
Yeah.
We look like twins.
That's you.
Ebony and
please.
Why am I doing the swaying? I'm the wrong character.
Stop. The fundraiser tonight, there was a guy, there's a drag queen there, and I looked up and I said, oh my God, that's Michael Jackson in a dress.
Oh.
Oh, yes, looked just like him. Oh, well. Okay. Enough foolishness.
Oh, then I have to kill my mic. Okay.
What's up with you this month?
Oh, we haven't played his theme music yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let's do that.
Okay.
What CD? Oh, this one.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on the blacklist and know this. It's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed. See a real life conspiracy.
Ooh.
Thank you for joining us on Black on Black on KPFT 90.1, the radio station that listens to you. We are first going to start off with the topic of the men's gathering of Houston is currently meeting again every second and fourth Saturday at the GBLT Community Center on the corner of Hawthorne and
Montrose.
Thank you.
3400 Montrose.
Thank you.
Suite 207.
That is absolutely correct. At 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., we certainly encourage you to attend if you're an African-American male. And the meetings have been absolutely wonderful. The prior meeting referenced something that we talked about here, which was sexual role typecasting, and they actually had a panel of people on board. So they really had a good meeting and could have gone on for another hour or two had they wanted to. Is anyone familiar with Yahoo 360?
Vaguely.
Okay, vaguely. There is a blogger on Yahoo 360 called The Big Man. And The Big Man is an African-American man. I think he just turned 35. And he has a very poignant blog. And it's a series, and it's called The Fat Diaries. And it's concerning his struggle to lose weight. And so he hit my page, and I hit his page back, and I started reading some of his blogs, and they were quite in-depth and interesting and reflected a lot of pain, that emotional and spiritual pain that he's going through right now concerning his weight. And it touched me. Why are you laughing?
Oh, that's part of the reason why I'm in the state that I'm in right now.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
Like, but
I just love it when people come in here and throw a mirror on me.
Oh, gosh. But he talks in depth about his struggle to lose weight and why he's trying to lose weight. And it touched me because I, from the age, I guess starting at the fifth grade, picked up a tremendous amount of weight and carried that weight throughout high school. And when I joined the military in 1989, I weighed approximately probably 247. And my mother actually had to sign a medical waiver for me to go into the military. I mean, once in the military, they had what they called the Fat Boy program. We had PT or physical training early in the mornings, which started at 5:30. But those guys, those of us who were on the Fat Boy program, we actually had to be up at 3:30 and started our PT program at 4 a.m., which consisted of a grueling up and down, what they called Killer Hill. And the hill, you had to run up and down the hill, and the drill sergeant would ask you things like, you know, how many leaves are on the ground? So you'd have to run up the hill to the tree and come back down with some oddball number, and then he would ask you to tell him how many leaves were turned up or how many leaves were facing up. So it was grueling up and down the hill. But when I left basic training, which was 8 weeks, I went from 247 down to maybe about 195 within that time period. And then when I went to advanced individual training in Indianapolis, Indiana, I went from 195 down to about 175. And because of my genetic makeup, I look like a crackhead. My head was enormous on my little body. So I finally found a balance. And then after I got out of the military, I stopped exercising because it wasn't a part of my paycheck anymore. And I picked the weight back up. And so from the age of about 23 until here, till the day we're here, I have struggled with my weight and self-image issues surrounding my weight, and especially being in the, I hate the word lifestyle, but being a same gender loving man, image is very important, especially if you allow it to be as important as I had allowed it to be. But the big man on Yahoo 360, if you get a chance to the listening audience, if you get an opportunity to go out to this young man's Yahoo 360 page, it is absolutely amazing some of the things that he has poured out from himself onto the pages of Yahoo 360. And some of that stuff I would like to go through, or some of the points that he's made, I'd like to go through and share my struggle. And again, it's called The Fat Diaries, which I thought was a bold move to even put that, because a lot of people won't even use that word in referencing themselves. But one of the questions that he has is that what repels men and keeps men at a distance from him where it concerns his weight. And in the black community, we certainly know that weight issue or image issues concerning weight are a deterrent. And a lot of times, black men who are same gender loving and overweight will take on the comedic role within their clique or with whatever group that they run with in order to mask a lot of the pain that they're going through, if in fact they are struggling with their weight, because there are those who are very comfortable with their weight and don't have an issue, but there are a lot of them that do, and to mask that, they take on a comedic role.
Well, I'll tell you this, it's not just the African American community that you get that. You have a lot of people who, through my experience, through the chub community, using the official terminology that we have, and even myself, you know, my therapist put the fact that I use comedy as an insular vehicle for this. But basically, it comes basically from the fact, and like I said, I'm talking from experience on this, if you're going to laugh at me, I'd rather you laugh with me than at me.
Okay.
And so that sarcasm, that comedy that comes out, especially what you hear come out of me week after week on here, comes from that root.
Okay.
Is if you're going to laugh, I want you to laugh with me instead of at me. And so I'll make the fat joke first.
Okay.
I'll make the joke that you're thinking in your head.
Okay.
That is socially acceptable for you to make, but I'll say it first so that when we're laughing, I'm laughing with you, and I'm part of the joke.
Okay.
And that's part of it. It's not just in the African American community. You will see that a lot in the big men's girth and mirth movement.
Now, speaking on the chub community, how active are African American men in this type of organization?
From what I've seen in my, you know, 3-4 years part of the chub community, I see more African American men on the chaser side. I've run into a lot more of the skinnier African American men who are interested in the larger white men than I've seen in actually more of the heavy set black men. Yes, there are ones out there, but from my experience, from what I've seen, and you know, based off of contacts that I've received at either events or through personal ads, I get a lot more of the skinnier black men who are interested in larger white men. I think it's the junk in the trunk thing.
You need counseling. But I personally, between the ages of 27 and maybe 32, 33, would overdress anywhere I went in order to what I thought I was doing was compensating for basic bottom line is an ugly body. I was very ashamed of my weight gain or whatever my weight happened to be at the time. So I would constantly overdress. I was always in slacks and a dress shirt and nice shoes, and was spending an exorbitant amount of money on clothes in order to cover up or to mask what I thought was ugly. And I one day had some pictures taken by a photographer. And he was like, you know, you're going to take these pictures and you're going to see what you look like without having to look in a mirror. And I saw those pictures. So at about the age of 33, I think I started to embrace my weight and who I was. At this point, I'm working out. I'm doing some other things, but it's more for health reasons right now. But I was very... I felt very unattractive. I was in a relationship that had failed, and I thought that my weight had something to do with that. So I was carrying that around too. But I really did think, as the big man says on his blogger, that I felt like that my weight repelled men, and that if I lost the weight and got this Adonis body, that I would certainly be the toast of the party and men would come flocking. I've since to come find out that that is not true, because he poses another question. He says, do skinny men have the same issues also? And I have a friend who is thin, not so toned, but nicely thin, and he actually runs into the same issue, but it's on the opposite end. He's running into men who would rather have someone with a little bit more meat on their bones. So yes, skinny men do have issues also.
And also, I've chatted with one guy in Canada who he's husky. Mm-hmm. And he's attracted to very large men. And part of the problem he has is because his ideal of beauty, mm-hmm. and someone being handsome, is a larger person. Because he isn't that size, he feels that he is unattractive. And he's good, he's decent looking. But because his ideal of beauty is someone who is considered in the average world to be morbidly obese, mm-hmm. and corpulent and, you know, Jerry Springer kind of material, mm-hmm. that's his ideal of beauty. And because he doesn't match that, he feels that himself is not attractive.
Hmm.
And his is to the point where it is psychologically damaging. Because he is so upset that he is not matching to his ideal of beauty, it's a danger to himself.
When you say danger, is he starting to...
Basically, you know, I can't be that way. I've tried gaining the weight. I can't do it.
Okay.
And he's, you know, psychotic.
Ooh.
Borderline psychotic, borderline suicidal from it. Which is an inverse of that, because his ideal of beauty is not the 6'5",
exactly.
blonde hair, blue eyes, Nordic god.
Exactly.
But his ideal of beauty is 5'10", 500 pounds. And okay. that's the yardstick he uses to measure his quality of mm-hmm. life from.
Then,
and you do see that in terms there. I mean, I've...
Okay.
What do you have on that?
It's the whole self image thing, and that's interesting that we all find something different as far as what beauty is concerned. And I admonish, if you can, if you're African American male or of African descent, please attempt to make the next men's gathering, which is September 22nd again at 6 p.m. And they're going to be going over labels. And we were talking about that this evening at my house, those labels again. But a lot of times we're fine with labels as long as they positively identify us. If we don't like the label, then we go into this mode that I don't do labels. But the weight issue, the big man asks, is there anything I can do to make myself more appealing and attractive? And the answer to that is, you most certainly can do something to make yourself more appealing or more attractive, but do you want it depends on what you're trying to attract, because if people can't see beyond your weight, then do you really want to attract them, or have we gotten to a point where we're just all about the surface? And I've seen a picture of Big Man. There's a picture out on his blog, and he's not extremely overweight at all, but I think based on where he's at, I believe he's in D.C., and I do know that D.C. is very body conscious, especially when it comes to African-American men who are same gender loving. It is certainly all about the body. And he's hit 35, and so it's really become an issue, and he doesn't want to be alone, and he feels like the only way he won't be alone is that he gets this perfect body. But I've seen perfect body people who are very much alone.
I can tell you honestly this, you can let him know this. Next September, there's going to be 200 to 300 men in D.C.
Okay.
Who are either big or love big men.
Okay.
They're going to be there Labor Day weekend for Convergence.
And it's called Convergence?
It's called Convergence. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. next year.
Okay.
We hosted that event last year here in Houston.
I remember you talking about that.
And first of all, I got to let everyone know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is the Black on Black segment of After Hours. My name is Chris Arison. I'm the co-executive producer. In the studio is Christopher, who is our host for the show.
Thank you.
One of the things you have to understand, and like I said, I mean, this touches a subject on me, and I've talked about it several times mm-hmm. on the air, about this, is the fact that I understand where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm 429 pounds. I'm not afraid to say that,
mm-hmm.
because this is who I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the vessel that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
If all you're looking for is the vessel, this is the vessel I'm in. You're not buying when you go to the grocery store and you buy olive oil, you're not buying the fancy bottle it's in.
Exactly.
You're not buying the can it's in. You're buying the product that's inside of it, and that's what I consider it. And I let myself, for 30-plus years,
mm-hmm.
buy into the story that because I am fat, because I'm overweight, I do not deserve love, respect,
mm-hmm.
and people should treat me like I'm an idiot. I bought into that for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually got to a point where I started believing the other story they say. There's someone out there for everyone. And I went out and found it. And I met somebody online. We had some great times together. And he introduced me to the Chubb community.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I've gotten acceptance of myself.
Okay.
I'm not happy being 429 pounds. I'm not happy the fact that I'm diabetic, that I'm supposed to be taking two pills twice a day that I never remembered to do. I'm not happy that, you know, at least twice a day I'm supposed to prick my finger and check my blood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy the fact that, you know, a normal blood sugar level is supposed to be 100. And the last time I checked it, I was 387.
Mm-hmm.
But I accept who I am right now.
And I think a lot of people have need to get to that point. Because it took me a while. I've recently met a gentleman in Dallas who tickles my toes. He's picked up weight from... I actually met him 10 years ago. And we recently met again and hit it off. There was no interest back then because he was with my best friend. and I had a lover at the time. And so we recently met, and neither one of us are connected to either one of those people anymore. And he saw me, and he was like, oh, my God, I saw you, and you look so good when I saw you walking to Chewy's. We met at Chewy's. He was down with another friend of mine that I didn't know that he knew. But anyway, we've talked about the weight issue because he's picked up weight. He was used to be super, super thin. So now he's really good looking now and has a wonderful body. And I told him, because I'm currently at the start of 2006, I was at like 236. And so now, as of today, I'm down to like 213. So one of my main goals, though, is to be healthy. I have a nephew, and I want to see him grow up. So that has been my main push. And now that my reason for losing the weight has transferred from trying to be attractive to the men that I wanted to attract to being healthy because I want to be here for you know, some length of time for my nephew, what has happened is that I've been able to lose the weight and lose it consistently. But when my main focus was something more superficial, I couldn't maintain it. I wouldn't go to the gym. But now that it's my focus has changed, I've been very successful at decreasing in the weight in a healthy way and doing it by changing my lifestyle. But more importantly, Chris, like you said, the self-acceptance. Had I still been, or if I stay at whatever my weight is, I will certainly be at a better place emotionally and spiritually where I do accept myself. Mm-hmm. Because there are some things that I did tolerate from people more easily because I figured they were doing me a favor by, you know, either talking to me or showing me some attention, and I soon found out that they weren't doing me a favor, that I was actually doing them the favor by even giving them the time of day. And my attitude reflected that. Soon thereafter, I started grasping that in my mind. The big man asks, am I willing to change who I am to get a man? I, at one point, was definitely at the point in my life where I was desperately trying to change who I was to get a man. And what would happen is that you would run into five or six different men, and each one of them thought you should look like something different than the last one. So there was a constant struggle in changing where I was trying to get as far as my weight or my looks. So,
well, that's a lifetime movie of you. It really, you know, that's the realization I've come to. It's like, you know, you always hear the joke about the women trying to find a man so they can change him and mold him into what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it took years. I mean, there was years. In the beginning of my time here on the radio show, I used to have a standard joke I even said on air was, you know, as long as I've got money in the bank, I've got a sex life. Which is my cute little euphemism for saying, if I wanted dick, I bought it off the street corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I did that for years upon years. And mm-hmm. then I found out that there were people who were attracted to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is to the extreme where there's some guys that they're only interested in the really big guys. In the really ones that their weight is to a point where it's a disability.
Mm.
Where, you know, at 429 pounds, I'm too small for some of these guys,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. And it does help, you know, I may be kidding myself, but I carry it a lot better. If somebody sees me, they wouldn't, you know, and I ask, and they guess, well, how much you weigh? I said, well, you tell me how much you think.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, they're at least 70 pounds off
okay.
from what they think I weigh. But you do get those parts where, you know, size gets into fetishism.
Okay.
Where it is, you know, like the old saying, you know, I was joked about before, you know, the junk in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And you do get those in the Chub Chaser community.
Okay.
Of where you will find guys who are like, have equivalents in the straight community. Mm-hmm. Of they're a breast man.
Exactly.
They're
exactly.
an ass man.
Yes.
With the chub community, you get a belly guy.
Okay.
That it's all, that's what they are fascinated on. That mm-hmm. is their portion that they feel is the attractive portion.
Okay.
And like I said, it took me years upon mm-hmm. years, and found somebody who said the right words,
mm.
and I believed it. I bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
I bought into the story. Instead of saying, you know, you're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're lazy,
mm-hmm.
I bought into the lines of saying, you're cute,
mm-hmm.
you're attractive. And having that intimacy with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the greatest kicks I get out mm-hmm. of this is going to one of the websites and showing the people here at the station these guys that are hot.
Mm.
I mean, they're sitting there looking at these guys drooling
uh-huh.
and going, he's not interested in you. You're too small. And going, these are guys that, you know, could easily get, you know, one of the guys I've shown him has done a couple of pornographic films. other ones that, you know, are ones that you would that you could see on a mainstream pornographic mm-hmm. gay film instead of a niche
mm-hmm.
gay film or a gay chub film or a gay bear film.
Mm-hmm.
And sit here and show these guys and go, this guy is hot. And they're going, you're, you know. And afterwards, them going, I am going out to the snack machine and getting a couple of bags of potato chips. Because you do get that mm-hmm. sort of mentality. And that's the thing that gets me, is when I've had those instances where I've had guys, there's one guy here in Houston that came over, 19-year-old, drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, lacrosse player. Hispanic lacrosse player.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there going, how the hell did I get him? And he was interested. We had a great time. And that's the sort of thing you have to realize with that. You know, 5 years ago, I didn't take my shirt off in front of the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I hated mirrors. Mm-hmm. I hated reflective windows. I was perfectly fine looking straight ahead because mm-hmm. I didn't see me.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to a glass window and I saw the reflection of me, I was disgusted. I was, you know, I would take a shower. I would step in front of the toilet to take my shirt off because I didn't want to be in front of the mirror and sit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started to hear those words from people and started having people from across the United States, mm-hmm. around the world that I've chatted with, guys that I thought were really hot, really good looking, saying, I find you attractive. I realized the problem wasn't with me, and I started to accept myself
mm-hmm.
and see myself through their eyes. And it was really a life-changing moment for me that
that's really good.
That I could start to do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I could go from not wanting to stand in front of a mirror and just see a flash of my naked chest
mm-hmm.
and with my, you know, 66-inch, 70-inch waist
mm-hmm.
and, I don't know, what, B-cup
tits. Give me help.
Chris. I'm serious. I've got bodacious tatas.
You think help.
And to go from that point, and in 5 years, to being part of an organization that brought together 200 men who were either large or liked large men, and to be able to go up to somebody and hearing some guy saying, he was a little hungry. He wanted something to eat, and I said, I got some stuff up in my room.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to take a guy up to my room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, closing down a bar and saying, the bar's closed, and having some guy come up to you and say, well, what time did your room close? And
I
go, someone else needs to close down the bar. I'm going upstairs. That sort of thing in a span of 5 years.
Years.
And like I said, the people who have heard me on the show during my term here have heard that change in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it's one of those things that I've really come to accept. And unfortunately, tonight, I had one of those little setbacks because I wasn't in my insulary world.
Okay.
Of where I knew if there was a large number of people around me
mm-hmm.
that supported me as I was.
Mm-hmm.
That supported me as I am. And once again, I got into that situation where, you know, the attractive guys were there, and I couldn't get them to pay attention to me, even with money in pocket.
Okay.
And that, unfortunately for me, I let that get to me too much.
Okay.
And instead of taking myself out of that situation before it happened.
Okay.
Or taking myself out of it earlier, I got upset.
Okay.
And so, yes, there is a this ebb and flow with this.
How long do you think it'll take for you to bounce back? Or is it just a really brief momentary thing?
It'll, you know, after a day or two, this will still bother me for a while.
Okay.
The last time this happened, I haven't set a foot in that bar in 4 or 5 years.
Whoa. Okay.
Unless I have to go there for a meeting.
Okay.
And then as soon as it's over, I leave.
Okay.
This incident here, it did hit me a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I sat in the parking lot and, you know, I tried to fight back some tears because mm-hmm. it upset me to that point before I could settle down enough to actually
mm-hmm.
drive and come into the show. It's one of those things that it's, you know, it's that cold reality bitch slap.
That's a bitch slap, Chris.
It was. It really was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when, especially when you end the night giving a bartender a $10 tip and say, thank you for treating me like a human being. You know, when the other bartender and you tell him you want a rum and coke, and three times he asks you, was that a rum and diet coke?
Are that, you for real?
I'm for real. You know, that pisses me off because I don't drink diet coke. I hate diet coke. I'll drink diet Pepsi. I won't drink diet coke. Taste just bothers me. I don't care how much rum you put in it.
That is quite nasty.
That upset me. So I didn't feel bad that in front of him, I tipped another bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was treated with respect.
Respect, exactly.
And that's the important thing. You know. So, yeah, that's why I'm saying when you started with this topic, it's like, you know, I've lived through this life, and I've gone through a lot of changes
mm-hmm.
and a lot of situations with that. And, you know, it's a strange balance where I've come from
okay.
in learning to accept it. It's difficult for everybody.
Because I still, even today, I still struggle with the weight issue. My sister is I think my sister's like a size 2, and she's had a baby. She's never had an issue with her weight, and it's just something that I think I will constantly have to deal with. And it makes me conscious though of how I treat other people though. That has been the one positive thing that I have gotten from going through that is you're very conscious about how you treat other people. And again, it's all about showing people respect. Big Man asks a question. He says he wonders what other people think of him, and he would love to ask, but he's too afraid to ask. And a lot of times I've been out on dates and stuff like that, and I'm thinking that once you have gone out if you consider going out on a date with me, you've already seen me, so weight should not be an issue. But when we get to things like the internet, and God forbid, Adam for Adam, which I think is a horrendous sight, it is a tremendous blow to the self-esteem. Yeah, and you meet people off of there, and you meet in person, and you've been pretty much honest about what you look like. They turn and run, or they don't even acknowledge that they see you, or if they drive by and you're supposed to be waiting for them somewhere, they keep going. I think some of us are those of us who have had those experiences. And a lot of times you're just wondering why people can't see, or why won't they take the time to see who you really are, instead of basing everything on just the physicality. And I do understand that there's a fine line between prejudice and preference.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a fine line of how you acknowledge or you state or communicate your preference, and a lot of people have not learned how to do that. We were talking tonight, and I have a friend who met someone that he was interested in not more than 3 or 4 years ago, and they met again, and the gentleman had picked up some weight, and the friend was trying to figure out, how do I tell him I'm not interested in him anymore? But they are still compatible in the points of spirituality and on the emotional level. It's just that he says he's picked up maybe about 15 or 20 pounds, and he's no longer sexually attracted to him anymore. So that is a battle, like 10 or 15 pounds. That's not a lot.
No,
it's really not.
It's a good Thanksgiving dinner.
But
10-15 pounds, especially when you get with larger people, it's mainly water.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that can be lost actually in a day or two.
Exactly.
That's technically really a small amount of water. What was his question he had on there?
He had wondering what other people think about him, but he says he's too afraid to ask a lot of times because he doesn't want to hear what he already thinks he knows is very obvious. Is that people, you know, the first thing he thinks that people think about him is his weight. He thinks that's the first thing that people see. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell him, when we start communicating more frequently, is that there is a certain type of attitude and aura that you have about you. And if you walk into a room concerned about your weight, a lot of people can pick that up.
Yeah. I think the best philosophy on that comes from the movie and play Love, Valor, Compassion. And the character Buzz says it when he comes out and he's delivering iced tea to his friends wearing only an apron.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, love me, love my love handles.
Love me, love my love handles.
And that's, I think that's the philosophy you have to have, is that once again it comes back to, this is the vessel I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like what you see, fine. We play a song here, Next in the Effin' Line. Because you may not be interested, but the next
someone
person might.
Did you ever see the movie Flawless?
Not really.
With Robert De Niro and what's his name?
I know the one you're talking about where Robert De Niro's disabled and
yes.
The drag queen takes care of him.
Yes, and the drag queen, he's explained to the drag queen that he was interested in this lady at the dance hall that he would go to, and the lady's no longer interested in him now because he walks with a limp because he had the stroke. And he tells, no, I'm lying, the young lady that he hooked up with, another young lady from the show, I mean from the dance hall, and she tells him, he says, well, you know, I'm not going to find anybody that's attracted, you know, my foot, you know, I walk with a limp. And she says, find somebody who does accept you just mm-hmm. the way you are. Instead of waiting around for people who don't, you're waiting around for them, thinking magically that they will. But Big Man, I would really like for him to come here to Houston because he does travel and actually be on the show.
And there's an organization in D.C.
Uh-huh.
that will help him. There's it's Girth and Mirth of D.C. Basically, it's one of the affiliated big men's clubs
okay.
that's out there. And he can go, I'm not sure what their specific website is,
okay.
but it's abcclubs.com
okay.
is the national umbrella organization. I'm a former secretary of the organization.
Okay.
They're the ones who's hosting Convergence next year for him. You're really lucky up in the Northeast area because if you're in D.C., you've got Washington, D.C., you've got Philadelphia, and you've got New York
okay.
with big men's organizations.
Okay.
In our community, in the gay community, basically there's two names for the organizations. They're either big men's clubs
mm-hmm.
or girth and mirth societies.
Okay.
So you've got Girth and Mirth of D.C., Girth and Mirth of Philadelphia, and they just recently renamed themselves Big Men's Club of New York.
Okay.
Those are organizations where they accept you for as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find a lot of that acceptance in various bear organizations.
Okay.
I'm not familiar as much with the bear organizations. I knew, like in the Houston area here, we've got, you know, the Houston Big Men's Club, which I'm interim president of, and we also have the Houston Area Bears.
Okay.
Which are two organizations that are accepting to the larger person and to the person who is interested in a larger mm-hmm. person. You know, and there are various events you have around
town for
the country.
Okay.
Like I said, Convergence is a national big men's organization event that's held in Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Next year is D.C.
I would really like to get that information to him. I think he would really enjoy that.
The following year, 2009, is going to be in Las Vegas.
Ooh.
This couple weeks ago, it was held in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. And
unfortunately, I was unable to attend the event. But it gives you a chance. The great thing with this thing is because there's a lot of security in numbers.
Yes.
So, you know, when you have a person who's a larger one and may never have been in a swimming pool before,
mm-hmm.
or was never in a swimming pool without their shirt on,
mm-hmm.
it's an amazing thing to go into a swimming pool without a shirt and not care.
You know what? I am 36 years old, and now that you bring, I have never entered a swimming pool without my shirt on. The only time I did it was when I was in the military, and we had to take a swimming course. I'm just now thinking about that. As you said, I still have not worked up the audacity to do it. And to be honest, I don't know what's really holding me back. I think I've not done it for so long till it's second nature,
and then when you start to accept yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's the big thing, you know, of, you know, going out. And, you know, I went to a private pool party
mm-hmm.
at someone's house, and, you know, getting a tan all over my chest because I could be out there without a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the events I've had at Convergence, I was at New York 2 years, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Houston was last year. We had a conference
mm-hmm.
3 years ago here. And they were all indoor swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to take my shirt off.
How freeing was that?
Oh, it's very free. It's one of those things that you know, it's part of you could be in the back of your head going, you know, I'm not the worst looking one in here.
Okay.
But the other part of you is like, who cares?
Who cares?
Mm. Because everybody has those bumps, those blemishes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's being surrounded by people that, because, you know, no one's going to come in and go, hey, nice tits, fat ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's 40 or 50 other fat asses in there with just as big of a rack.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to kick their ass, too.
Exactly.
There's safety in numbers.
Exactly.
And you feel that freedom in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to accept it more. You know, it's been a while, but I've been to Midtown Spa.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no problem walking around with just a towel around my waist. Because mm-hmm. I accepted who I was with that.
Well, you know what? The gym that I go to, and you've given me a challenge, I'm going to go shirtless tomorrow at my gym.
Take your shirt off in here.
Yeah, right.
It's topless radio time. Come on. You do it, I will.
I am not taking my shirt off.
Come on. Yeah. There's no one. There's just Jimmy. It's just Jimmy, you, and I in here.
Y'all, Chris needs counseling.
Of course I need counseling. Jane, if you're out there, I still need it. I just couldn't afford to come and see you anymore.
But
somebody contact Jane Paisley and say, Chris is still screwed up.
But when I go to the gym tomorrow, I am going to get into the pool shirtless. That is my promise to you.
That's the sort of thing that you...
Yeah.
I lived in an apartment complex for 10 years. I never went to the swimming pool.
Mm.
Never.
Hmm.
I had people who stayed with me, mm-hmm. and they spent more time during the couple of months that they lived with me at the swimming pool than I did.
Okay.
My experience with the swimming pool was walking past it to go to get the mail. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the new place I moved in going, that swimming pool looks nice.
It looks really good.
My mind even went, you know, that swimming pool is chub friendly. Because rather than having
I
to
love
get down,
it.
Rather than getting down those little stairs and holding onto that rickety metal frame, it is like four graduated steps down.
Uh-huh.
It is so easy. You know, all it was missing is a guardrail down the middle to help you down.
Uh-huh.
And it would be completely... Well, because I've learned to look at those things.
Okay.
You know, when I went looking for hotels,
mm-hmm.
we looked at the swimming pools and go, how easy is it going to be for someone to get in and out? You know? When you're looking at a hotel for a big person mm-hmm. event, and all of the account reps that we dealt with
uh-huh.
thought it was strange. We'd get into an elevator, and every one of us in the committee, our eyes went up, to the right, and to the left, and just kept looking like that for a moment. And one of them asked, what are you doing? I said, we're looking for the weight limit. Because we're going to stress it out. If you've got, if you know, you have an elevator that says 2,500 pounds, you might have, you can fit 20 of your average size people mm-hmm. in there. You know, that's five or six of us. And mm-hmm. we're going to put 15 people in here
mm-hmm.
if we can. So, you know, it's one of those things you start to look at with stuff and through different eyes mm-hmm. of seeing what's, in essence, for a lot of people would be what some people would consider handicap accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look at for being accessible for my,
okay.
for my size and
exactly.
my community. And I look at those sorts of things.
Okay. I remember when you were doing that conference, you were talking about the pool and the elevator and... Something that I never thought about, but you were talking about, you walked into the bathroom to see if the toilet was wall-mounted or floor-mounted.
We had a hotel offer to say, hey, we'll take the walls off, the privacy walls off between the urinals if it's not if it's too confining for you guys mm-hmm. to get in. The last hotel we're at, they put they've now come up with the commodes that are hanging off the wall.
Mm.
So basically, it's four bolts hanging into a wall stud, so that way they can clean under it easier.
Mm-hmm.
However,
that's not very safe and secure when you try and balance 400 or 500 pounds
okay.
on
yeah.
the end of it. And the last place when we were out there, they put a little block underneath it to help give it support. It's a simple thing, you know. I don't like one thing I don't like about my apartment right now is apparently they're going smaller with toilets.
Oh,
and that's it. I'm having you know I've only been there a week, so I have to still learn the balancing act. You know, but
these are real problems.
Exactly.
These are real situations
that
real
you
problems.
Have to look at, and you have to adapt, and you have to learn how to mm-hmm. overcome and deal with these things. And you know, it's good to question because. You know, if you don't question,
mm-hmm.
if you're not looking introspective into it, like I said, you're doing how I wasted, you know, I was until 25 mm-hmm. until I first really sought intimacy with somebody because I was, you know, like I said, I was told, you're fat, you're,
mm-hmm.
you don't deserve love, you don't deserve respect.
Mm-hmm.
And at 25, I went to San Francisco and... I bought that love,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that companionship, for the first time. I spent $300 on two different guys
mm-hmm.
while in San Francisco. And so then my mentality changed of, I can get that love and respect as long as I can pay for it.
Yeah.
And then it started to get to a point where money didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't cloud their judgment enough to still be interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found that there were these people who are cute, attractive, hot,
mm-hmm.
whatever range you want to put them in, that were interested in
me.
And I can vouch for that. Your entire personality changed
oh.
when you discovered this group. Because you were going down a very dangerous path with rent boys. And it wasn't... I could tell you were losing your sense of self-worth.
Yeah, I really was. I was feeling mm-hmm. as bad as, you know, when you're paying somebody $40 to give them a blowjob. And all you want to do afterwards is say, just do me a favor and just lay on top of me for a minute so I can feel that body contact. Because that's what I really wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to go from there to... well, since he's not listening, I'll make the comment. You know, I've been in this apartment now, officially. I got the keys last Friday. Uh-huh. I've been in there 8 days.
Uh-huh.
I've christened my apartment twice.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, so...
Jimmy's been in his place for a year, and...
it's still a virgin.
Yeah. So, there's that sort of... You know, that sort of change that you have to overcome. Because if not, you know, that's where, you know, the part of being miserable with being the size is.
But I've done that, trying to snatch intimacy out of anonymous sex.
Yes.
And it just doesn't. And actually, the person I was having the anonymous sex with, they didn't want that either. They wanted the intimacy. They wanted just the touch of flesh. And that's why I love the movie Crash. Don Cheadle talks about, you know, we're so hungry for just that touch, to have that connection that we're willing to crash into one another.
Yes.
But it's because I've, you know, done it with, you know, trying to take boys out for dinner, sending them flowers and trying to show them that I want something deeper or something more, and all they can look at is either, okay, you're too old for me, or you're nice, you're cute, but you're a little husky, you're a little on the heavy side, and you're sitting there and be like, okay, what else can I do? And like you have done the same thing. You go pick somebody up, you know, pay them $20-$25, and Lord knows you don't know what you're getting. You don't know if you're going to get a sliced throat or kick out your car. But you're so hungry for it, and I've been there. You're so hungry for it till you're willing to do anything to get it. And
you know, to sound religious and philosophical with this, there but for the grace of God. I am still alive.
Yeah. Yes.
And I am still disease free.
You have no idea how I worried for those years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the bad points I had in time was I thought I was going to try and pick up some guy, and we were going to go and check into a hotel because I live so far out in the suburbs, and he didn't show. And I think this was one of my first there's rock bottom points that I think you have to hit with so
exactly.
many.
Exactly. Most definitely.
You know, call it an addiction, you know, I was addicted to companionship.
Yep.
And it was a dick dancer over at a bar, and we were going to meet up. And he got lost, is what he told me later. He got lost. He couldn't find the place. And I was going home, and I live out 290 and Highway 6.
I do too.
Well, that's where I used to live. Now I'm up at Willowbrook.
Oh, okay.
But
still right down the street.
Yeah. So I'm driving home and take I-10 to 610. And I got to the 610 interchange. And I was so disappointed. Because, you know, when he didn't show, I went trying to find somebody else because I wanted that. I was craving it. And I got to that 610 interchange, where you either take the left turn or the right turn. And I started going, what happens if I go straight? And I don't mean go straight in the philosophical sense of going heterosexual. I mean, I was coming to a fork in the road, and what happens if I don't turn the wheel? And I started yelling at myself, going, it was just a dick dancer. And you're talking about this. And I'm going, what the hell are you doing? You hadn't had any thoughts like this in years. And I turned right and went up to 290, got a little further down the road, and I went, you know, the dentist gave me a prescription for Vicodin, and I've got some alcohol at home. And I went, what the hell are you thinking? And that's where I was putting my self-worth at.
Exactly.
That because some dick dancer in go-go boots didn't show up,
I was wanting to end it all.
And you were not alone.
And, you know, it was one of those kind of rock bottom moments. And fortunately, some other things happened that I was able to get I was suspended from work on something unrelated. And I took that time off from work, and I went down and sought some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And started, you know, a 3-4 year process. And I don't know, I didn't open up enough. It, which, you know, if you listen to me on the show, it's amazing that how could Chris not open up? Because I do. When I come out here, I pull myself out because I know there are people out there
who need to hear and need to know.
Yeah, who, you know, I've walked in those shoes.
Yes.
And they're uncomfortable. And they need to be told.
Exactly. And you're certainly not alone with those feelings.
And, you know, I was in it for a while. I had some good times. I had some bad times with it. And I was actually getting to a point there where my therapist said, you know, you really don't need me anymore.
Mm.
Because I was starting, not that I was healed,
mm-hmm.
but I was coping with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to use my own coping skills. When I had a breakup, I wrote up this one thing that I read on air here once or twice before called Everything I Needed to Learn, I Learned at Age 30. 31, something like that. And it was just the little philosophical things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is like soccer. When in doubt, kick it out.
Mm.
Simple little idiotic, in a way, witticisms. You know, the kind of stuff you see on the, the kind of posters you order from Office Depot to hang on your wall. Hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
Those sorts of witticisms. And, you know, my therapist asked if she could borrow that to share with other people because it rang so true with her.
It does. I like that.
Don't make a permanent spot in your heart for temporary people and then leave a temporary spot for those who are permanent. Those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've learned and grown with that.
Okay.
And, it's a tough journey. And, you know, for someone, you know, with big boy who's able to, you know, share that on the internet,
mm-hmm.
you get a lot of that. Because especially when you're in a superficial community, like the gay community is. We are. We are, you know, we're superficial.
Sure.
It's all about what clothes you're wearing, you know. If you don't shop at Abercrombie & Fitch and Hollister and Structure, you're worthless. I buy my stuff from Casual Mail. I order stuff online
mm-hmm.
out of catalogs. From other companies, you know, I'm wearing a pair of pants I ordered from King Size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this shirt, bought at Casual Mail, you know. I walk into a Walmart and I buy socks. That's it. You know, as a gay man, I have one article of clothing that I bought at International Mail, and it was a reject size. It actually is a women's silk bomber that I bought years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That probably still doesn't fit. The only other thing I bought from International Mail is a hat that I use as like wall decoration. I never wear it.
Okay.
But that's still who I am.
Exactly.
I am 429 pounds.
Of pure love.
I'm a faggot. I start the show off and talk really loud and really long, and I go, with breath control like this, can you believe I'm still single?
and no gag reflex.
Oh, no, I still have that.
Ah,
but,
okay.
You know, I make up for another talent, so I can, in the middle of it, I'll uh-huh. look up at a guy and go, can you believe I'm still single? And nobody has said, I can't believe you're single.
Chris is a nut.
I'm serious. You know, I'm a fat guy. I should be good with my mouth.
You need help.
It does. Duh! Newsflash.
B-
But I applaud you and adore you for sharing, because I've never seen or heard this side from you. So I am truly amazed and honored that you shared it, and it's a wonderful thing to see. I had no idea.
It kind of helped that you hit me on a day when, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. I was out on the back patio smoking a cigar. I only smoke when I've had a few dozen too many.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, Jimmy came out and saw me smoking. And he goes, oh, God, Chris is in trouble. because that was the state I was in.
Okay.
And it's one of those things that, you know, everyone has setbacks on anything in your society.
Yes.
Because no matter who you are, there is going to be some segment of society out there who thinks you are inferior.
Exactly.
You could be the 6'2", blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nordic god.
Mm-hmm.
You could be Thor reborn. There's going to be somebody who says, oh, he's just too muscly.
Yeah.
And the fact is that you have to, no matter who you are, you've got to wade through a whole lot of crap in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is whether you're going to allow it to stick to you or scrape it off. And that's the important thing. And like I said, love me, love my love handles. I've got a live journal that it's, I don't really do much more of it anymore.
Okay.
Because when I did it some more, there's just so much hurt and pain in there.
Mm.
But it's called Gestum Cogestum, which is, I am what I am. And part of the disclaimer in there is, you know, I am fat, corpulent, all these euphemisms, all these other terms and similes for fat, obese, chub, you know, all these other things. And I go, I'm also fag, gay, queer, pillow biter, butt muncher, butt pie, all these other euphemisms for it. Call me what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't change who I am. I am still who I am. And like I said, if Jimmy had his full CD selection here, I'd play it. As, you know, a guy who I met a couple years ago at Convergence, as his song says, you know, next in the effing line.
I'm with you.
And that's, and you know, it bothered me that I had to bleep out the effing word. Because I felt, if there was no other time that word was so appropriate, it was telling somebody, next in the effing line. If you don't like what you see, guess what?
Get going.
Because you're on the wrong, you know, you're on the wrong page, you're on the wrong website. And I don't hold back.
Yeah.
You know? If I'm in, you know, the chub or the bear ones, okay, it says flat out, these are my stats.
Mm-hmm.
On a couple of sites that I have that are just the plain hookup ones, you see more of me than what you actually see on the the chub and the bear ones. Because I want you to know flat out that when you see the name Big Chris, H-O-U-T-X, big doesn't mean what's between my legs. It's what's above my legs, and it is my legs.
Yes.
That's the big part.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it with the one picture, and it's like, so you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
From the get-go. So there's no surprise.
Yeah.
And sadly, you know, the internet, has too many, you know, there's the thing called AOL inches. I don't do that. This is who I am. Because I rather you either not click on my picture again, not say another word to me in cyberspace, than for you to get to the door and go, I don't want that kind of rejection. Just go away.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of cyberspace. Here I am. You don't like it. A mouse click away.
Next in the effing line.
Next in the effing line. Yours. 3 million websites out there to find someone to go down on you, or you to go down on them. I'm on maybe 6 of them. And 5 of them,
are pretty specific for their audience. Yeah. And if you're in there and you don't like what you see, click a page. Yeah. You'll find somebody else.
You'll find what you're looking for. This has been enlightening for me and an eye-opener, Chris. I simply adore you even more now for sharing that. There is a, instead of our usual song to close out with, I would like to close out with that second CD,
okay.
Elizabeth Withers, number 8, which I would think would be very apropos for this. But in closing, I would just like to say thank you for joining us. And one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in life is you cannot take people's preferences personal. So let people have their personal preferences. You cannot take it personal and internalize what they do not see in you, or the greatness and the beauty that they see in you. And it's all about your self-image. And you have to nurture that and make that great and make it what it is, because other people will not do that for you. And to Big Man, if you're out there listening from Yahoo 360, I love you. Thank you for the blog that you wrote, and we will certainly communicate more. Again, this has been wonderful. Chris, a lifesaver, as always. You are absolutely amazing. Jimmy, love you. Wonderful.
Love you too.
I thank you all for the opportunity.
This has been just an incredible segment tonight between you and Chris.
I
loved it.
Amazing. Absolutely. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. But this Elizabeth Withers song is how I feel about everybody here in the studio, and about how I feel to everyone listening and those who aren't listening. And if you're struggling with weight or whatever your issue may be, find within yourself the internal strength to deflect and get off of you other people's opinion and perception of you. If they don't validate and edify you, get rid of that mess. Get rid of the people in your life who don't let you know on a daily basis that you matter and that you have value. So from me to you, Elizabeth Withers, Somebody.
Ever since you first opened your eyes, something happened that changed my life. A bond grows stronger every day. It's a love that words cannot explain. To the world, you might just be somebody. Everything you are was made in love. Your tiny hands and they toast, cute giggles and this sweet little nose. I want you to be the best that you can be. Afraid of nothing, wise and carefree. To the world, you might just be somebody. To the world, you might just be nobody. Baby, the world.
Elizabeth Withers.
Very powerful song.
Somebody. Wait a couple minutes.
Thank you, Christopher.
Liberty.
That was a great song. Okay, it's after hours.
Yeah, I'm sobered up now, damn it.
It's after hours. Queer Radio with Attitude right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
We got to do it in a couple minutes anyway. It's too early.
No, it isn't. Five of or five after?
Oh, five. I thought it was three.
No. Yeah.
I got to play an annoying song here in a little bit.
Oh. Okay.
I have. I'm going to warn people ahead of time. You know, I've had the problem with your opening theme, Christopher, for years.
Oh?
Because it gets stuck in my head. And, you know, especially now that I'm working in Tomball, there's no way in the hell I can stand in the middle of the store going, welcome to the color.
No, you can't do that.
Not in Tomball.
Please.
I'm sitting three blocks away from the building where they had the latest Klan rally.
Oh, my goodness.
So I really can't be singing that song.
Could be worse. It could be Vider.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that'd be hell of a
They don't want any of us there.
But, yeah. I've got this other song that I had to tell a friend of mine played it for me. And it's one of those that is so annoying. It makes the Macarena seem like classical music.
Oh,
and it was stuck in my head for 3 days.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I'm at work singing this God awful annoying song.
That song would have been.
What? Yeah. You're going to be worse here because.
Oh, you're going to play this damn thing?
I'm going to play it. But see, we're going to be worse here in the studio because I'll be playing the video.
Oh.
And the video is worse.
Oh, great.
And it's one of these songs that, you know, I had to tell my friend a couple days later going, you annoyed me all day. And he goes, well, what did I do? I said, I couldn't get that damn song out of my head. And he started, you know, the LOL, LMO.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just drove me insane for a day. So you can go to YouTube and just type in what.
And it comes up?
And you'll get the video.
Okay.
How old are you?
Okay.
He's a tease. Don't worry about it.
He is absolutely gorgeous.
I know, isn't he?
Yeah. But he's a prick tease.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy who goes, I'm not cute, but I'm going to sit here and annoy the hell out of you.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, but he doesn't believe it, and, you know, he sits here and teases and torments us. Not Jimmy, you know. Jimmy can get him into the music library, but...
Oh, yeah, right. Anyway, some things going on. The Houston Pride Band presents Celebrating Diversity, and that's happening Saturday, September the 29th at Resurrection MCC, 2025 West 11th Street. And that's a great venue for the Houston Pride Band because the sacristy is just, it's got great acoustics in there. And that happens at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 7. Tickets are $10, available at the door. So, or you can go to dubcubed.HoustonPrideBand.org.
And as Jimmy always says, if you can beat it or bang it or blow it, you belong in a band.
That's right. Now, let's see here. What's going on with the crew of Olympus? They're having a couple of things here, and one is, like, later on today. It's the Trash Disco Party at Rich's Sunday, September the 23rd. No, that's next week.
Yes.
The 23rd. From 4 to 7, $5 donation. But they're a 501c3 organization, too, so we can mention that. But, you know, $5 to have an... everybody likes Trash Disco every now and then.
Yeah.
And Rich's is a good venue for that. So,
is it because of the trash or because of the disco?
Well, either
hey,
one.
I will say this. I was impressed. Earlier tonight, I was at Tony's.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there listening to the music. And it was all pretty good music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to listen going, oh, my God, they're playing Bronski Beat.
Oh, yeah, Small Town Boy.
And I was like, what the?
That must have been Peggy Sue playing.
What the F? You know,
yeah. What the
I'm hearing queer music in a gay bar. The hell you say?
I'm sitting there just going, and it didn't hit me at the beginning, but then all of a sudden the chorus started coming, run away, turn away, I'm going, and at that moment there, Tony came up, was taking glasses off, and everyone thought I was surprised that, you know, the owner was clear, was bussing a table.
Oh, no, he does that all
and
the
I'm
time.
Going, no, that wasn't what was surprising me. They're playing queer music.
Yeah, by queer artists.
About
with queer subject matter.
I would have spilled my drink, but it's against my religion.
As a member of the wretches, I would have to say, bad wretch, bad wretch. If you spill your drink. And actually, the other event that the Crew of Olympus is doing is even better. Now, this is the one you go to. If you can't, you know, if you can't make the Trash Disco, I mean, that's fun. That's next Sunday, 4 to 7 at Rich's. Then there's Fay Dodo, which is a Cajun dinner, which is happening Saturday, October the 6th, 7 to 11 at the Winter Street Studios, 2101 Winter Street. Now, it's $25. But it includes free cocktail and all the Cajun food you can eat, and it is good. These boys know how to make Cajun food. It's really
good. For $25
really
bucks, you get to pinch the tail and suck the head?
Yeah, there you go.
Woo. Hell! Getting in touch with my old side again.
So that is a fabulous deal. I'm going to be there because I love Cajun food. I mentioned this earlier, but we're opening Eartha's Closet, the show and silent auction. Now, this is a new function of GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, where we've got a lot of Eartha Quake's clothes, and we've had other donations, and what we're doing is having a kind of a borrow thing.
Lending library
of drag. For, you know, guys who only do drag once a year, or, you know, once every 10 years or something. And, I mean, you don't want to go out and buy all this stuff. Shoes, purses, jewelry, outfits.
I can testify to that. The first time when I did the drag at Louis, you know, the wig was 30, the house coat, the house dress I wore was 30.
We have 15 wigs.
You know, I was able to go cheap on the purse and the earrings, at least.
Well, in fact, I do want to put in a plug for Vanity. Vanity has a wonderful shop in the Heights, between 14th and 15th, I think. Vanity did all the wigs for free for GCAM, which I think is amazing, because including the one I wore tonight, the big pink one. So,
I missed on that.
It was great. So, this is a new function of GCAM, and we're having the show next Saturday, September the 22nd. Mary's Naturally on the patio from 6 to 8 p.m. MCs are Bob Boughton and Eva Storm. DJ Poppy from EJ's, who's just a sweetheart. And Houston Area Bears will be operating the patio bar. And food is going to be provided by the Colt 45s, ICOH, and Southern Comfortable Brownies from the Big Men's Club.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to be there, but the brownies will be there.
Oh, okay.
I've got a birthday. September's not a good month. I had a birthday party today for an August birthday, and I've got two birthdays next week.
And so we've got artwork that we're going to be auctioning off. We've had a couple of artists do some renderings of Eartha Quake. We've got...
us big people don't like the term render. You know, it's...
Oh, oops. Okay. Gotcha. The Body Electric donated 10 of their DVDs from their sex... But, demonstrate. You go away for Body Electric for a weekend and you learn how to do tantric sex.
Oh.
And they've got
sexual education.
Yes, they've got 10 DVDs. And we're going to be auctioning them off singly because some are for men and some are for women. And, you know, if you do all 10, then.
unlike the lesbians who are winning the gay, the bear porn over at Bear Social.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we've got things like anal massage for lovers, Annie Sprinkles Orgasm, Zen Pussy is one.
That sounds like a new age.
I know, Uranus, self-anal massage. I mean, there's just all kinds of very, very personal instruction DVDs here. So we've got that, and we've got some other items. But that's going to be fun. Next Saturday at Mary's, naturally, from 6 to 8 p.m. And something that was in the mailbox here at KPFT that I thought was interesting, that we kind of touch on. Come one, come all to Pagan Pride 2007 and celebrate the fall harvest. That's Saturday, September the 29th at the Last Concert Cafe from noon until midnight. That's located at 1403 Nance Street in Houston. It's going to have great food, great vibe, and great people. There is a $5 donation.
That's the one.
And music provided by...
Yes, that's what I'm going to be playing.
Open Ritual, The Wartime Social, Weird Girl, Ted Miller, drumming, and all kinds of activities going on at the Pagan Pride Festival. September the 29th. I do want to comment on... Oh, Tigger, he is such a sweetheart. Because he sent us some artwork. Did you get to see it?
Yes, I did.
And he did do this artwork, as a matter of fact. I read the letter.
Oh.
He did this. And he wanted it... us to have it for our 20th anniversary.
Oh,
which,
nice.
Which is fine, because we're celebrating the whole month of September anyway. So, no, he's not late, but he liked it so much that he wanted to have a copy of it for himself to keep.
Oh.
And send us the original. It's a torso, a male torso, with his arms behind him. And
he's kind of sitting down and reclining.
Yeah, looking away from us, and he's got headphones on, as you can see. And... it's the title that got to me,
mm-hmm.
because it's a beautiful picture in itself of a guy listening to something on his headphones, but it says listening to friends.
Oh.
And I thought, yeah, he's listening to us.
That's nice.
Yeah. I just love that. That will be framed.
We love the MVB art. In fact,
oh my God, yes!
Now that I'm back in an apartment, I've got to
get your art at work.
I've got the one from Milano from years ago.
That's right.
That Roger Rabbit one.
That's right.
That.
So he writes that. Let's see. Hope this finds you all well, and he loves the new transgender segment. Let's see. But his inner lesbian couldn't get enough. Seriously, the information was fabulous, and the hosts were knowledgeable. They very are, and entertaining. Still, no one will ever do the station identification like Chris.
That comes from having no life and practicing it over and over
again. Missed having him as much as usual. And, he says, happy 20 years. I can't go to commissary right now, so I couldn't get a card. But I wanted to do something to say congratulations, and I'm glad you're on the air. I drew a picture for you guys. I hope you like it. Are you kidding? We love
it. Oh, yes.
Absolutely love it. I'm sending by way of my best friend so that I can have a copy made of the image for myself. Yes, of course, just the original. You, of course, get the original. I'm sorry for the delay. No delay. And it's certainly in time. But he selfishly wanted to keep the... a copy, and I don't blame him. It's very, it's excellent, just absolutely excellent. And he looks forward to the next show. Cool, thank you, Tigger.
And we also got a letter from RJ.
Yes. Oh, what a wonderful letter that was, too.
Yes. He's hopefully going to be getting out soon. He says he's down to just under 9 months.
Yeah.
But who's counting?
Great. And he better get his ass over here to the station.
Yes. As far as you're asking about other people on here, Stacy, no word from.
No, I know. Stacy has changed jobs and has been reunited with his son.
Oh.
Who looks amazingly like Stacy. Acts amazingly like Stacy.
That could be hot.
It's very hot.
That's hot.
Very, very hot.
Go ahead, sue me, Ferris. I don't care. It's hot. As long as there's not all the tattoos and piercings, it's hot. My inner priest is all of a sudden going, hallelujah.
But I loved what RJ had to say about sexuality and stuff.
Yeah, so we'll make sure we pass this
amazing.
On.
Absolutely amazing, because when you're behind bars, sex is more about power than it is about pleasure. And I think that's why a lot of guys get really screwed up about sex when they're incarcerated.
Yeah. And we're going to pass on. A lot of it is directed towards Christopher of the Hat segment.
One yes.
of the new directors of it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'll admit, you know, it's one of those things. When I first met Chris, the first time Christopher was here,
mm-hmm.
he went by the name Chris.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know from experience that could be an ambiguous kind of name.
Well, yeah.
It's a bisexual name. It can go either way.
We're talking about a female to male.
And that was the thing, is I was not 100% sure, because, you know, it was just with the younger age.
Yeah.
You know, when I found the transgendered part, it was like, okay, we're talking F to M or M to F. And with only going by Chris, it was like...
You didn't know.
You know.
You didn't know.
Is it Chris with a C or Chris with a K? Is the H in there? You know, I know that because, you know, I lived with that name for my life. And now that Christopher's going by Christopher, you know, it does make it a little bit clearer to how he is.
Oh, yeah.
The other person that RJ asked about was Smiley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Smiley has... run off to suburbia with his boyfriend, and I think it's the best thing that could happen to him.
Yeah, gets him the hell away from here.
Well, no, his boyfriend really stabilized him. And that's a good thing for Smiley.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, with moving, I found all the letters he sent. I still have the proof positive in writing about hot fudge sundaes and hot tubs and Viagra pizzas.
The only thing that bothered me is that he borrowed all of his letters that I kept to have his boyfriend read,
uh-huh.
and I never got them back.
Ah. Smiley, if you're out there.
Mm-hmm. I want those letters back, boy.
Okay, do we need a weird music interlude now?
Let's see. There was something else I wanted to...
Well, at least we need to start bringing in the group, because I want them to see this god-awful video. It's, you know... So whoever's out there who's going to be coming out for Roundtable, get your ass in here.
Okay. Now, here's something. I don't know that I mentioned it before. It's Niceties Productions, in conjunction with ICOH, proudly presents Miss Drag Houston, produced by Jim Crawford. So You Think You Can Drag is the name of it. The contest will be held Saturday, October the 6th at EJ's, 2517 Ralph Street, from 8:30 to 11. We are looking for our first Miss Houston Drag. All contestants must bring two songs. Each contestant will perform one number in set one, not to exceed 3 minutes. The top five contestants who raise the most money will proceed to the final set. And in set two, the five finalists will perform their second number, not to exceed 5 minutes. And the finalist raising the most money in both sets will be crowned Miss Houston Drag.
It's a hell of a lot of rules there for a drag competition.
Well, it's a smaller version of the Miss Mint Julep.
Okay.
Is what it is. This is a title that you can buy. You just have to raise the most money. That's what it takes.
Oh, so it's not like the presidency.
No.
Okay.
It's and the contest is a direct benefit for the Colt 45 AIDS Trouble Fund. And what the wonderful thing about that is that every cent of the money goes for the charity, because the charity has zero overhead. And the winner gets a real sash and a real crown with stones and everything. I mean, a big, you know, this is a big deal.
Real crown, fake stones.
Well, that, yes. Well, of course.
I'm gonna go dragging the people while you
drag. Why don't you play a song?
I want them to see this video.
Oh,
this god awful video.
Okay, okay.
Samwell. So I need. Alex has already seen the video, and he already feels it's atrocious.
Oh,
he's playing it on his phone.
Oh, I see.
Don't call it a phone. So do something else. I'll be right back.
Doing the thing on the phone. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I've stood up all show and it hurts.
I'm sorry. There is something great going on at, there's always something great going on at the Montrose Counseling Center, but right now it's a hate bias crime survivor support group. The FBI definition of hate crime is one motivated by racial, religious, ethnic, sexual orientation, disability, or gender bias. The Montrose Counseling Center provides services to anyone who is the survivor of any bias-related crime, regardless of immigration status. The crime committed against you does not have to be based on sexual orientation or gender identity, and you do not have to report the crime to the police in order to participate. The group meets on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Montrose Counseling Center, which is located 401 Bernard Street, second floor. Participants may join at any time, but we are asking for a 12-week commitment once you join. Intake is required for entry into group if not a current MCC client. A brief assessment by facilitator is required prior to attending group. You must be at least 21 years old to participate. Goals of the group are sharing the dynamics and origins of hate crime bias, resolving difficult feelings of shame, guilt, and anger, learning about the nature of hate crime and bias, altering the experiences of shame, guilt, and anger to more manageable feelings, reestablishing connections with others and gaining a support network, letting go and saying goodbye. To join this group, contact Melanie Morrison at 713-529-0037, extension 306. That is something that you really should look into if you have been a member, a victim of hate crime. And the 13th Annual Houston Women's Festival is only 7 weeks away. Houston Women's Festival returns to the beautiful Jones Plaza downtown Houston on October 20th from noon till 10 p.m. with a fabulous day of music, shopping, vendors, and food. This is going to be a great music festival with Ruthie Foster as our headliner, Ginger Lee as our guest MC, and an incredible lineup of performing artists like Susan Gibson, Trina Hamlin, Amy Spears, and Houston's own Kelly Gray. We've played Kelly's music here on the air for years now. She is just an amazing jazz vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she has done the primary standard of jazz music on the song Since I Fell. That's my absolute all-time favorite Kelly Gray song. Please visit dubcubed.hwfestival.org for the complete listing of performers. Advance tickets will be available at the Professional Women's Happy Hour Wednesday. That's already happened. Sorry. The official 13th Annual Women's Festival kickoff party is today, September the 23rd. No, that's next week.
Somebody buy him a calendar.
I know it. September the 23rd.
The current one. You know, that Dick of the Day calendar he has that he's used for several years just doesn't help.
I know. The pages are all... Well, so never mind. It's September 23rd at Chances from 4 to 7 p.m. Come by for live music and a chance to win a Premier wireless gift basket and more free tickets to the festival. So that's going to be cool next Sunday. So, you've got the music queued up?
Oh, yes. Like I said, a friend of mine, who's contributed music to the show on occasion, Brian, mm-hmm. played this little video for me, and it's, I don't know what the official term is for that music that's stuck in your head and won't go away.
Yeah.
But I had it. This was going through my head for a day. So all of you who want to, now, like I said, the people at home, you're lucky you don't get to see the video portion. So whoever wants to see the video, stay on the side.
I've seen it.
So you can see.
Oh, my God. What?
That is just horrible.
The song is by an artist, and I use that term loosely, Samwell, and the song is called What in the Butt. And if you type in what butt on YouTube, you'll get to see this lovely video. May God have mercy on our souls. And here it comes. It was with a lovely cross on fire. A burning cross for an African American artist.
Great.
Not smart. Very Madonna, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. I hit the button to make the screen bigger for the people in here. We got a bunch of size queens. So it's restarting.
What in the butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? Let's do it in the butt. Okay. What in the butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? Let's do it in the butt. Okay. It's okay if you have a little fight. Don't you worry. I won't bite.
Not that hard.
If you want it, I'll give you power. Just be gentle. I'm delicate like a flower. I said what in the butt. I said what in the butt. I said what in the butt. You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? Let's do it in the butt. Okay.
I will give you what you need. All I want is your big fat seed. Give it to me, if you please. Give it to me, if you please. I'll give you what you need. All I want is your big fat seed. Give it to me, if you please. Give it to me, if you please. What, in the butt? I said what, in the butt? I said what, in the butt? I said what, in the butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt? Let's do it in the butt. Okay. What?
Okay. Now, the lucky part that you people at home missed on the video was the bedazzler work on his ass that says, what?
He took his cues from Richard Simmons, obviously.
That would be enough to turn Richard Simmons straight.
That was terrible.
Now, get that out of your heads. Feel my pain. Yeah, that was scary.
Oh, I can't believe I wasted the last 3 minutes.
I think we all feel that way.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's called Misery Loves Company. It doesn't just... Yeah.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out the chocolate lips.
Oh. I love the one part.
I know it.
The one part you have to watch with the video is...
Maybe he got a hold of
the first time before he takes the bite out of the chocolate heart.
Yeah,
his eyes get
really big.
Really big. It looks cartoonish.
Yeah,
like calendars.
Yeah, like you know, like
cat
like
calendars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
His eyes just went. And it's like, what the hell? I had to go back a couple of times there. It's one of the times I'm not glad I've got the good internet where I can back up on this stuff. It's times when I wish I had the old internet where, you know, a 2-minute video takes 20 minutes to download.
Oh, no, that's just more
really?
Waste of life.
Yeah.
That was just awful.
So... Get
oh, Jimmy, you didn't like that song, huh?
Get that song out of your heads now. Because God help me, I was singing it in Tomball. Where surprisingly, I'm still in the closet.
Well, you have to be in Tomball.
I'll tell you this, I've gotten a little bit more, you know... Okay, whose headphones are killing me?
I don't know.
I'm looking at me.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've gotten a little more not caring because I made a mistake at work and the boss picked up a yardstick and was going to go.
There's the setting.
Was going to go a Catholic nun on me and she wanted me to put out my hand to wrap me across the knuckles.
Yeah.
I unfortunately grabbed the door hinge and went. And nobody caught on.
It's because you're.
Oh, that really is Tomball, isn't it?
I must work with some dense people if they're not figuring this stuff out.
Really?
It's like, you know, when the Mormons came in and had their picture taken with me, that didn't draw a clue. let's see. Oh, here's a lovely story. As we know, as we go to some of our. Internet stories that we love to talk about.
Yes.
Another one of those stories of the teacher knocking around with the students.
Oh, yes. I love those.
Yet another.
This one here has a lovely twist to it. A Madison Township man accused of having sex with two minor girls is in jail. Paul Brunel Apley, 26, a convicted sexual offender, was arrested Friday by township police after he delivered flowers and a teddy bear to a 14-year-old Madison High School girl to apologize for cheating on her with a 15-year-old girl.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Nothing says pedophilia like... Flowers and teddy bears.
Coming, Care Bear?
Yeah, coming soon.
That makes it so much better.
There was something I liked about you.
Yeah, he considers the 14-year-old girl his girlfriend.
And what's the 15-year-old? His mistress or his lady?
I'm sorry. Not only this, apparently he was delivering the flowers to her at school.
What? Fantastic.
Oh, brilliant.
This guy looks like a genius, you know.
He's obviously a brain child.
Where did you get this story? Dead from the neck up news?
Close. Daily Rotten.
Daily Rotten.
Here he is coming soon to a Dateline episode near you.
Yeah.
Wow.
A face only a mother could love.
He's a little rough trade.
Even a nag over it.
Why does he have a... it's a Family Guy shirt of Stewie. That ruins it.
That makes it so much sweeter.
The sad thing is I have a decal in my car of Stewie. My entire phone is decked out in Stewie. Nice.
Stewie is... Is this a Megalomaniac Anonymous meeting over here?
No.
Let's see. This, trying to find if there's some.
What I thought was really fabulous is just that nice little casual photo of him looked like a mugshot.
I think that was his mugshot.
That was his mugshot. Fabulous.
Better homes than convicts.
He must have been taking tips from Martha Stewart.
Yes.
Wow. Trying to thought there was
well,
more.
Well, by the pose, Victoria Beckham. It looks like he took it twice. The lips are pouty.
Huh? What?
Is it a mugshot or a library card picture?
Could be. This
is full ID.
I don't think that guy's been in a library.
Unless it was a school.
Because you know he did go to school and get flowers.
I'm trying to.
What did he use to pay for the flowers? His Hello Kitty MasterCard.
I thought there was some more. The girl-on-girl Astro Lube wrestling.
Okay.
Do we really hear about girl-on-girl wrestling?
I do.
Oh, we have one person.
Yes.
At least the brand's good.
Is it Astroglide or was it ID?
It's Astroglide.
Astroglide.
Very good brand.
Let's see. Did I spell it right this time on the first shot?
That's my first. Yeah.
There we go. All right. Let's see what Talarose says there.
Yeah, gut oil is hard to clean off.
Yes, it is.
Soap is for hello.
Everybody
who wants to put soap down.
Uh-oh, we have another one.
What? Everyone's favorite senator.
Oh, Senator Craig? Craig?
The one who can have sex with a guy and say he's not gay.
Yeah.
Why?
I was so upset that, you know, to well, think 2 weeks ago I could have been in that airport.
No, I just wonder who was the other guy in the bathroom. Was it George Michael?
No. It was this really hot cop, and I can't blame Senator Craig for hitting on him.
Well, I mean,
he was hot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, define hot.
Yeah.
As in... strip search me, daddy, and use your nightstick. And then pull out your ass. The smoking
gun. I'd tell myself for that one.
I think I would too.
Senator Craig is once again allegedly challenging his, you know, he's kind of off and on again, you know.
He's now denying the charge.
He wants to fight against it. And let's see, where's the Senator Craig?
Do you know what kind of question and answer session you have to go through with a judge to plead guilty without a lawyer?
I don't know. Tell us all about it.
Basically, the judge proceeds to interview you for about 15-20 minutes, asking all sorts of questions to make sure you understand your rights and what you're giving up in order to plead guilty and what all it means. I mean, the guy...
Oh, that's not him. That's an actor from TV. Who is that?
It
says here that that's the cop.
He just wanted another excuse to get handcuffed. That's all.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I just love breaking out in handcuffs.
Please, you can buy a pair of handcuffs over a black
one. What he's giving up to play, it won't be nearly as bad as what he'll be giving up later when they throw him in jail.
You're right.
It's
a misdemeanor.
There you go.
Drop the soap. Drop the soap.
Throw him in there.
I think that's why he originally pleaded guilty. I think he was
trying to get it all to go away.
Yeah.
Tom Brady enters a wet T-shirt contest.
What?
Who's Tom Brady?
Like, who wants to see his man boobs?
Who's Tom Brady?
He's a quarterback for
Oh, I know some.
Yeah, New England Patriots.
Something like that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Something like that. He's one of the cute ones.
Yeah, well, when he's what? On the when he does the photo spread in Playgirl, then I'll pay attention.
What? Why do they go...
I see his New England Patriots.
College football, they're all cute and pretty. They go professional, and they all turn out, you know, like William the Refrigerator Perry.
Well, it's called steroids, dear.
It's like, oh,
it's called steroids and not being required to wear a... A
girdle?
Yes. A girdle.
No, he's still not that. Well. He's not all that.
So yes, but there's always the questions of him being gay.
Oh, who? This guy? Here?
Yeah.
Hey, flip that around.
Tony.
Okay, well, you know, very passe. David Coppé did that years ago, so, you know.
Hey, bad look. Oh, look at the hair.
Well, maybe if he would stop shaving his body.
This guy isn't sitting next to me.
Okay.
What's with the mullet?
Yeah, but his other head, honey.
No, I want to know, what's with the mullet? I mean,
hey,
helmet hair.
Be nice to mullets. Honey,
no. As the one bartender said in the movie Suburbia, I wouldn't kick him out of my ass.
I wouldn't let him in.
Let's see. Oh, here was an interesting thing. Gus Van Sant is making a movie of Harvey Milk. And
he's been talking about that for a decade.
Well, they have actors ready to play. Well,
let's hope it's better than his last three or four movies.
Sean Penn is scheduled to play Harvey Milk.
What? I don't think Sean Penn's enough of an activist.
And Matt Damon is scheduled to play
RuPaul.
No, Dan White.
Dan White.
On that.
I could almost see that.
Is Miramax doing it? Because it sounds something they would shove down the Academy's throat.
No, no, I would like to see Merchant and Ivory do a treatment on that.
Or even the...
It's a refrigerator with milk. It's a room with a view.
Actually, it's not Miramax anymore. It's the Weinstein Group. Miramax is now part of the Mouse.
Ew.
Oh, wow.
They sold out to the Mouse.
Well, so does everyone else.
No. Richard Gere still loyal to gerbils.
Yes. We know.
Loyal to the gerbil.
Long live the gerbil.
Lemmy wings.
So what are you talking, Ricky Rad? Is that who you're talking about?
Let's see. What else do we got? Hey, you know what would help? My glasses. I had too many cocktails and not enough computer time.
How many shots of
cigar?
And then he complains about
Fred Thompson clarifies his views on homosexual deviancy and gay marriage. Gee, I bet he's against it.
What do you want to bet?
Well, until he gets caught in the bathroom, yeah.
Oh, right.
Good Lord. Great. One
more.
If you've seen this man, nobody would do that.
No, I'm sorry. He's the other kind of Republican. He's the one who marries, you know, a 12-year-old trophy wife.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah.
And when she's too old,
he trades her in for a younger model. Yeah.
Yes.
Seen his wife? She looks like she ought to be in Playboy.
Well, yeah, but...
She has an Anna Nicole complex, but not access to a pharmacy.
Yeah, but...
She wants to bang the dead, but, you know, doesn't want to join them.
So. Yeah, I saw that... I heard about the accusations that...
Larry Burkhead
and
Howard.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing the dirty video of Larry Burkhead. And Howard K. Cern.
And it was probably the one standing there taping it.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
She's like, now do this. Now, boys, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah, that was a little scary thought.
In 10 years and 5 more years from now, somebody will bring up the idea that they really are lovers and they plotted her death.
Yeah, well, we'll catch it on YouTube here in a couple of years, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably
whatever. They just wanted to get rid of her because she threatened to quit taking her trim spa.
we've got a contract.
That's it. Nicole, it was trim spa.
There was that one commercial where it's like, oh, that's great, honey, but, you know, you've gone from big girl to anorexic, and that dress is now three sizes too big for you. Oh, my God.
Well, that's because most of it was up here, not down.
Yeah, and like, when you lose that much weight, your boobs hit your knees, and then what do you do?
You should be wearing the dress. The dress should not be wearing you.
Lift and separate over your shoulders. You know,
she could have lost 100 pounds just by removing the silicone.
I know. But at least this way she won't ever have to worry about buying her bra sizes in 34 long.
You know you're getting old when they say show me your boobs and you have to lift your skirt.
Please, you're reminding me of my former downstairs neighbor. It's a farewell gift I wanted to buy her. I don't know, industrial bra or something.
When your bra size is 32 long, you're,
does she look like, what was that? Oh,
It looked like one of those executive games there, you know, between her knees and her nipples. They were just kind of knocking back and forth.
Her tits have an insane.
So they look like click clacks. You remember the old click clacks?
Oh, yeah.
You can fix that with like
did she look like Charles
Mom? From a set of blinds.
Oh. Okay, here's a prison prison story Jimmy would like. Oh. Men in Pink.
Oh,
oh, we're back in Arizona, huh?
South Carolina.
Oh, okay. I've been striving
USA Today reported that Sharon Nelius, an inmate serving time for assault and battery with intent to kill, has filed a lawsuit against the state penal system. South Carolina apparently forces inmates to wear pink jumpsuits as punishment for sexual misconduct. The inmate claims the pink jumpsuit is discriminatory and puts him at greater risk for assault from other inmates.
Bummer. Maybe he shouldn't have, like, done what he did to get there in the first place.
I don't know. Please, court it just highlights the people who are more willing.
No, he did not say penis. He said penal. The court he didn't even say penile. He said penal. The penile is somewhere in Egypt.
Penile.
That's when you take a leak in the river. That's when you go take a leak in the river in Egypt.
Yeah, the penile. Yeah. I saw that on Stargate or something.
That's a lower Egypt or upper Egypt.
A court document say pink was chosen as identifying mark for inmates involved in sexual activity partially because other colors were taken. My, how Nazi of them.
Right.
Yellow,
I'm thinking.
Yellow for segregation unit, dark green for death row. But also because systems prisoners don't like wearing pink.
Pink triangles, anybody?
Right here. How about a Star of David with to go with that, huh?
Okay, so what can we think of that's more disgusting than pink? Lime green? No. Chartreuse.
Yeah. Cerulean blue.
Seafoam green.
Hey, leave blue alone.
Lime green.
Maybe shit yellow.
What in the butt?
Oh, it was a lovely little video of kind of floating around. First of all, Dan Radcliffe, as he likes to be called now, because he's turned 18. And
have you seen those new photos of him?
I've never seen the lower half.
I've got a picture. I'll email it to you.
Oh, please do.
Because that kid...
I've seen some fake ones.
No, this is real. It's a real photo still of him. And damn, that kid is hung.
Well,
pull it out. Come on.
How do you think he got the lead role in Harry Potter?
Well, not just that.
Harry Potter did have 11.
He does party tricks with his tongue.
Oh, yes, I saw that on Ellen.
He was on Ellen, and the things he can do with his tongue would make any girl proud.
It's like watching Ellen makes me less of a person, apparently. I'm apparently the only one in Houston that watches Ellen.
Hey, I watch it all the time.
I want to wet herself.
I saw it. Hillary Clinton was on it the other day.
I saw the video clip they had of there where he is able to count to three with his tongue and to rolls.
Oh, yeah. You should have seen the girls in the audience. They were going wild.
Oh, yeah.
So, Johnny, did you have to go to the restroom and change your panties, honey?
Well, that sounds interesting.
I was squirming in my chair. I don't know why.
I'm sure that video made it to YouTube, like, not even a few seconds after.
Oh, yeah, right.
No doubt.
It was on there. Let's see. The Emmys are tomorrow, apparently.
So,
Kathy Griffin is going to be... It was edited out on her award.
That was very interesting what she said. Did everybody know about that? Mm-hmm. Well, she said that her Emmy was her god now, and basically...
Well, she started off with saying, you know, everyone comes up here and thanks Jesus for helping them get their awards. Says, Jesus had nothing to do with this. Yeah. The Emmy is my new god.
Yeah, the Emmy is her new god.
But this is also her coming off of hosting the porn awards.
Right.
Yeah. We kind of know where her mind was at. I mean, I saw that episode of the D-List where she was hosting the porn awards.
Okay, that's not what I thought that was.
You know, there have been several situations where that statement has come in handy.
Yeah, I was trying to find the
Emmy.
Oh, my
God, they really were AOL entries.
I was trying to find the Emmy Award thing so I can, you know, go over some of the awards. It was Emmys.org. I did Emmys.com, and this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid holding his puppy. That made me wretch.
Oh, hello.
Let's see, the awards. Come on. Oh, good Lord.
So isn't Jon Stewart hosting the Emmys again?
No.
No, he's doing the Oscars.
Ellen is hosting, right?
No. Ryan Seacrest?
I thought Jon Stewart was going to be doing it again.
No, Jon Stewart's doing the Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jon Stewart's doing Oscars.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. How many costume changes can we see a guy do this year, though?
we're talking Ryan Seaman. He's going to be doing... probably about 20 costume changes.
He's actually lives in my
hometown.
I just want to know how many hair colors he's going to go through.
Yeah, same.
No kidding. I think he might actually go from like longer coiffed hair to faux hawk.
Don't you love it?
I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like queef.
If they did it like they did it with Bob Hope, you know, spend 18 years doing the Oscars, yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Nowadays, they change them out every couple of years.
I can't wait for the Merv Griffin tribute, though.
I want them to bring Whoopi Goldberg back doing the Oscars.
Barbara won't let her do it this year. She's busy. She's booked. She's too busy filling in Meredith Vieira's spot.
Okay, let's see. Outstanding. God, whoever's headphones are that, I'm going to...
But beat you.
I can't help it. My head keeps real good.
Outstanding comedy series: 30 Rock, Entourage, The Office, 2.5 Men, and Ugly Betty.
Ugly Betty.
Yay.
I've only watched one episode.
But who will win?
I kind of like 2.5 Men myself.
No, I like 2.5 Men. It's actually a very funny show.
I bet you do.
Ugly Betty should.
Oh, honey, if you have to ask.
That's one with the openly gay character and the closeted gay teen character. Outstanding directing for a comedy series. Directing, who cares about directing? Directing. Outstanding drama. Boston Legal.
Boo.
Grey's Anatomy.
Meh.
Heroes.
That was a good one.
I love that show.
Good. I like the first two.
Yeah.
House is good.
Oh, man, it's so annoying. God, somebody slipped Quaaludes in his coffee or something. I hate that show.
And the Australian's gone now, so what the hell they're going to do.
He writes his own prescriptions. Come on.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he's writing the wrong prescription. Yeah. He's just annoying.
He's not taking the happy medicine.
If I had a doctor like that, I would file a lawsuit so fast.
Right. He'd make me do
it. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais on Extras.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Shalhoub on Monk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monk.
He's hilarious.
Steve Carell on The Office.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men.
You know, I've watched The Office once or twice, and I hate that one almost as much as the English version, which comes on PBS. Which is and I love Britcoms, but that's just about the most god-awful thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. It's just too dry and conceptual for you.
Yeah. No, it's just not a good show.
I don't live that far north, honey.
Lead actor.
actor in a drama, Kiefer Sutherland for 24.
Is that even still on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
James Spader for Boston Legal.
Yeah.
Mm. Hugh Lauria for House.
Yeah.
Dennis Leary for Rescue Me.
No.
Yes.
That's definitely
awesome.
I've never actually seen that show.
And James Gandolfini for The Sopranos.
It's off the air. He doesn't count.
Now, I'm sorry. If your show is off the air, you should not be nominated for something if your show's already over.
And it was still on the air last year.
I don't know.
Dennis Leary should win that.
Yeah, he should win. That's an awesome show.
Lead actor in a miniseries or movie, Robert Duvall for Broken Trail.
Eh.
Tom Selleck for Jesse Stone, Sea Change.
Nothing on Tom Selleck.
Jim Broadbent for Longford on HBO. Lord Longford.
Just I like his name, Broadbent.
Longford.
William H. Macy for Nightmares and Dreamscapes, the story of Stephen King.
Boring.
And Matthew Perry in the Ron Clark story.
They're all bad choices.
Yeah.
Mm.
Lead actress.
I haven't seen any of that, so.
Tina Fey for 30 Rock.
Yes.
Lead actress comedy.
Yeah.
Felicity Huffman for Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Desperate.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus for New Adventures of Old Christine.
That's a stupid show.
But
I hate
she's
that.
Actually she well, always good.
Yeah,
show.
She's,
America Ferrera for Ugly Betty.
Yeah. No. She needs to win.
Mary Louise Parker for Weeds.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Mia, sorry.
Lead actress in a drama, Sally Field.
I'm sure they don't mind.
Sally Field for Brothers and Sisters.
Has anybody even seen that show?
What, Weeds?
No, Brothers and Sisters.
Yes. It's got gay characters.
Whoop-de-doo.
They show gay sex.
Are they gay characters that are actually gay in real life? Or are they just playing gay?
Playing gay.
So they're gay for pay.
Yeah.
Hey, Mary.
Okay. I saw that porno. Go ahead.
Okay, they're Jeff Strikers, but not...
Mary Louise Parker.
They're Jeff Strikers, but with personality.
Oh, yeah, but Jeff Stryker's now back doing the gay for pay thing. I've seen him on the boxes of a couple of pornos last time I was in circle. The store.
I'm still waiting to see...
He's back now.
His son's old enough to do porn. Yeah. I hope he gets into it.
I'm not even going to go there, but that whole NAMBLA thing's got to go.
No, no, he's 18. Mariska
Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah, the detective from Law and Order SVU.
She rocks.
Patricia Arquette for Medium.
Patricia Arquette is good.
Kara Sedgwick for The Closer.
Can't stand Kara Sedgwick. Well, no, actually, I love Kara Sedgwick. I just don't like that show very much.
Minnie Driver for The Riches.
Yes, Minnie Driver all the way for The Riches. Always.
And
yes.
Edie Falco for The Sopranos.
Off the air doesn't count.
Lead actress in a miniseries or movie, Queen Latifah for Life Support.
Ooh, I like her. She is a good actress, though.
Helen Mirren for Prime Suspect.
Helen Mirren all the way.
Yes.
Mary Louise Parker for The Robber Bride. That's on Oxygen Network, so. Deborah Messing for The Starter Wife.
Nope.
And Jenna Rawlings for What If God Were the Sun.
Didn't see it, but Jenna Rollins is fabulous.
Yeah. Outstanding made-for-television movie, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. Inside the Twin Towers.
No.
Longford.
No.
The Ron Clark Story.
No way.
And Why I Wore Lipstick to My Mastectomy.
That must have been from Lifetime Television.
No, that was the Christine Jorgensen follow-up.
No. So that was from Lifetime.
That's a good one.
That wasn't a Bertinelli thing?
No, and Meredith Bax read too much
you just
there
was a...
Well, since Valerie Bertinelli moved on to do Jenny Craig commercials, they have to find other people to do movies for them on Lifetime. Outstanding miniseries Broken Trail on AMC. Yeah. Prime Suspect.
Yeah. Yes.
And The Starter Wife.
Prime Suspect.
Prime Suspect. Sure. That is such an incredible show.
Oh, here we go. Hey. Now for the queer Emmys. Outstanding reality competition program. American Idol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Project Runway.
Sucks even worse.
The Amazing Race.
Who cares?
That's a good show.
Yeah.
Top Chef.
Boring.
Who cares?
Okay, The Amazing Race. That's the only Amazing decent race, show out of any of those.
It's like, yeah, I mean, can you
it's
get...
It's where you get to see couples fight for real.
You know what I like? You know what I like?
Nothing scripted like Big Brother.
Yeah, I like the fact that Survivor's not even on that list this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God. They just kill that show.
This is what gets me with Big Brother. My sister-in-law watches it, and where I move now, I got new cable, and I got Showtime.
And they have a thing called Showtime. It's on Showtime 2. It's Big Brother After Dark.
Yeah, we have that on DirecTV.
Now,
plug.
I just, I guess because I got too late in the show, there's less people on it. I sat there for 10 minutes and watched some blonde, dumb bimbo eating macadamia nuts. Now, I don't know what's dumber, her sitting there for 10 minutes eating macadamia nuts, or the fact I was sitting there watching her eat that.
I think it's the latter.
In my defense...
What, was the Weather Channel only showing a test pattern?
Well, in my defense, they had two guys out in the patio getting poured on while having hold one hand above their head, and I was hoping they were going to be starting to strip. At least one of them would. And that never happened.
Neil Patrick Harris needs to win.
Supporting actor in a comedy series. Entourage. Jeremy Piven from Entourage. Kevin Dillon from Entourage. Neil Patrick Harris for How I Met Your Mother.
Yay.
Wilson from The Office. Or John Cryer for 2.5 Men.
Oh, Jeremy
Neil
Piven.
Patrick Harris.
No, I want Jeremy Piven to win because he has all those great prostitute and cocaine parties.
You know? It's amazing. It's amazing how much easier it is for a gay man to play a straight guy convincingly than the other way around.
Right.
Yeah, but oh my God, that is such a cool character.
Did you not see Doogie Howser?
Doogie was nuts.
Speaking of NAMBLA.
Sleepovers.
It's just like watching the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Gene Wilder. You knew that little kid that played Charlie was going to grow up and be gay, sure as hell did.
but he also turned out to be a major crackhead.
In some sense, those kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Supporting actor in a drama.
Candy is candy, baby.
Beat me to it, Dave.
William Shatner on
Good Times.
William Shatner on Boston Legal. T.R. Knight for Grey's Anatomy. Yes, he's the gay one.
I'm so sick of hearing about Grey.
Masa Oka on Heroes.
He needs to win. He's great.
Harry O'Quinn for Lost. Michael Emerson on Lost. Michael Imperelli from The Sopranos.
Doesn't count off
doesn't
the air.
Count.
Well, he's also dead on the show.
Don't care.
So he's not even back for the movie.
Especially doesn't deserve it.
The only good thing about The Sopranos is the opening theme. That's the only thing I like about that.
Got to
the music.
If they're going to give up...
Supporting actor in a miniseries or movie, Thomas Hayden Church, Broken Trail, Aidan Quinn, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Love Aidan Quinn.
August Schulenberg for Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. Ed Asner for The Christmas Card.
He's still alive.
Yes.
And a communist.
It's really funny.
The last I heard from him was received a letter from the American Communist Party, and he signed the letter. Lou Grant.
Lou Grant.
The starter wife, Joe Mantegna. Supporting actors of the comedy series, Jamie Priestley for My Name is Earl.
Boo.
Jenna Fischer for The Office.
Like
Conchita Farrell for 2.5 Men. Holland Taylor for 2.5 Men. Vanessa Williams on Ugly Betty.
Vanessa
Williams.
And Elizabeth Perkins on
Elizabeth Perkins.
I know Elizabeth Perkins is really good on Weeds.
Yeah, she is. I mean, there's no one that can play it well. I don't think I can say that on air.
Supporting actress in a drama, Rachel Griffin's Brothers and Sisters, Sandra Oh and Chandra Wilson, and Catherine Hagel from Grey's Anatomy, Lorraine Bracco and Adrian Torturo for The Sopranos.
Sopranos don't count. They're off the air.
Yep.
we don't know about this stuff. Variety movie.
Conan O'Brien? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Conan O'Brien, David Letterman, Bill Maher.
I mean, how high can he get his hair and still hide that bald spot?
Trump has been doing it for years. I mean,
yeah. No, Trump's got the most famous comb-over, but I mean, Conan O'Brien, he's like, he tries to spike it up and just kind of falls down. But
it's because, you know, when he was a young child, he was taken to the state farm. It was a horrible cotton candy accident.
No, I think no. I don't think that's it at all. I think he got caught in
the taffy pull machine.
He got beat up every day at lunch at school, and they did whirly-cues in the toilet with his head.
All right, we are coming to the end of this show. Praise Jesus. Quick shout-outs if you want to say it, because I've got to hurry up and hit these buttons and get
okay,
the...
Okay, I'll say shout, y'all say out. Shout!
Out!
We say shout, you say out, shout.
And I blame Grant for my air peg.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. List response to commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston. Say goodnight, Jimmy.
Good night.
And now it is your PSAs.
Participants come from all over the country to honor those who have succumbed to the disease and bring celebratory recognition to the survivors attending the event. The Komen Houston Race for the Cure raises money each year to fund national research through the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Award and Research Grant Program, innovative breast cancer education, and screening and treatment projects for the medically underserved in 7 county service areas surrounding Houston. To date, the Komen Houston affiliate has funded projects totaling over $12 million in the greater Houston area. This year's Race for the Cure will be held on Saturday, October 6th at the same Houston Park, 1000 Bagby Street, downtown Houston. More information about the 2007 Komen Houston Race for the Cure membership, volunteering, and Komen Houston affiliate activities is available at www.komenhouston.org or by calling the Komen Houston affiliate office at 713-783-9188. You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.